B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday show, which could be, folks, the busiest show that we've ever done here. A lot of things to cover today. A lot of guests. And it's general knowledge Thursday. We pushed it to today because yesterday I had to do some tests and was able to didn't want to miss two general knowledge Wednesdays in a row. So we pushed it to today, and the prize is going to be significant. I'll tell you about that in a second. But I'll be honest with you, right now it's rough. Sixers lose last night, game they shouldn't lose. The offense was terrible, and the Flyers have lost seven straight. Now, when you lose seven straight, usually a building falls. And so in hockey, it's usually the coach. So we'll see if Alain Vigneault is going to be able to hold on to his job here. They show no signs of spunk. They don't have any offensive spark. Their power play is terrible. The one thing I can see happening is they fire the assistant coach, Michel Therrien, who is responsible for their power play. But they stink right now. They can't score.
Nope.
So, you know, we've seen it a million times before. Yeah, listen, the guy's a good coach. They always reason in the NHL that somehow he's not getting through to the players and, you know, he's burned out the player. Whatever it is, usually in hockey they make a change. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll just we'll have to stay in tune with that whole situation. But the Sixers are a little more troubling. And Embiid, not a good game last night. And, you know, this COVID thing, I don't know how to react to it. Tobias Harris is not playing well either. And I know it takes a while to come back from this. The thing that belies it is that Embiid really first game back was magnificent. And maybe this has caught up with him. But, you know, their offense just didn't have any flow to it last night. And final shot. They weren't prepared enough to get a really good shot to win that game last night. And Thibault's killing him. I mean, he's just killing him. I like the kid too, but my God, is he inept offensively? He can't make shots. And if you look at him, he doesn't even look like he can make shots. And I'll be honest with you, you know, he should have improved that by now. I don't know what to think of this dude now. I love the way he plays defense. I really do. He's a great defensive player. But somewhere along the line, you got to get some confidence in what you're doing out there offensively. He has none.
It's tough, Mike. It's tough to look at. The problem is they don't have an alternative with Daniel Green, older and has the hammy. Korkmaz has played his way out of the rotation. They're stuck with him. I'm saying for minutes at times, they might have to end up going small and going with Shake or somebody else.
They may have to do that. Shake Milton at least will make shots for you. But, you know, you're going to sacrifice some things defensively. I understand it. But, you know, last night was a night where, you know, probably Shake probably should have played a lot more.
Yeah.
For that sake. For this. Listen, Thibault did a nice job on Tatum, at least early. And then Tatum got his legs a little bit. So I don't know. Maxey, you know, there's a story today. Keith Pompey is pointing out some problems now that he's been back, that he's trying to figure out a way to play with Embiid, that he was more freewheeling when Embiid wasn't on the floor. And now he's kind of, you know, I don't know, he's gotten a little timid and did not shoot well last night and did not look like the confident player that we've been used to seeing. So, I don't know, man. It all comes back to the Sixers needing some help, and this Ben Simmons thing is holding them up. And I know people out there saying, well, you got to make a deal. You got to get the players in there. I don't know how to feel about this now because I know the right thing to do is to hold out. But the way they're looking right now, I'm not that confident in their squad. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Flyers. Major League Baseball has locked out their players. Now, I don't think this is a big a deal as it would be later on. They do it now. They get some time to actually negotiate before they actually have to think about playing games. It's obviously a weapon by the owners. I don't like that part of it. The owners are feeling that the mega teams with all the money don't care about the luxury tax, and they're willing to spend anything because they have it. And that's the competitive balance is being thrown off and all this stuff. The players, meanwhile, we're not going to vote with anything that's going to reduce any of our union member salaries. So they're at an impasse right now. Who knows where it's going to go? But in December, there's a lot more leeway to figure this thing out. Now, what Major League Baseball could have done is just let this collective bargaining agreement just continue. And there'll be no disruption. But I'm looking at the owners, they go, okay, we have to have a weapon to make them want to come to the table. So I don't know. I have a feeling this thing will be straightened out. So I'm not that worried about them losing games.
I think they end up losing a bunch of games.
Yeah?
Yep. Really?
These owners are wretched human beings. They already proved that during the pandemic when what they did to the minor leaguers. I think they're just saying the right things now. But I think in February, we're still going to be having the same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that luxury tax, if Orioles get a check, they're supposed to take that check that they get from the Yankees. And they're supposed
and
put
it in their team.
Instead, what the owners do is they pocket the money.
Yeah,
That's not supposed to be part of the deal.
Well, and that should be addressed in the negotiations. So hopefully that will be addressed in the negotiations. I don't know what's going to happen. If we lose another baseball season, and you know what happened the last time, fans abandoned the game, and players and the owners really have to think about that. So Matt Breen will be on, and we'll discuss the ramifications with Matt Breen. It covers the Phillies. The Phillies did make a couple of signings. They got a relief pitcher that they think could be a closer, and they got a backup infielder. I guess that's the new Tereus Camargo. Right.
Yeah.
Camargo's the new Tereus.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean Brad Miller's coming back? Or does Camargo jeopardize that?
No, I would imagine that Brad comes back unless somebody offers him some money after the lockout. And then that also means that Chris Bryant did not get signed.
No, so he didn't, and neither did Castellanos yet.
So what you do is during this lockout, just because you can't sign people, you still can talk to the agent. Get that thing done now. While you get that thing done, because there's only a certain number of teams that can actually sign him, and the Phillies are, fortunately for us, one of the few. And some of the teams, like the Dodgers, for example, who do have the money, won't. So I don't know how many people they'll have to bid against, but they might be in a good spot if there's baseball again.
All right, so a lot of storylines to talk about today, including the Eagles. We go into Sunday's game. They have to return to the House of Horrors, and it's time to play the Jets. And I would love to sit here and say they're going to crush the Jets, which I think is going to happen. But who knows? At this point, who knows? Hurts is going to play. Sanders is going to play. I got a feeling that they're going to bounce back. They'll win the game easy. We'll be talking about the playoffs again next week. So we'll discuss. We have our fantasy football moment today with Eric Carabel. Breen will join us. We have Hembo Stats coming up. That's 3 o'clock. What's Brewing with Jen? And of course, it's General Knowledge Thursday. And the prize today, oh my God, the grand prize. Two listeners who get a question correct. Two will win a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters. Just announced Lincoln Financial Field this summer, July 24. Tickets will go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. But if you're somebody who gets a question correct today, you'll qualify, and we'll select two listeners at the end for the foos. And, of course, we got the Sweets Week we got to tell you about today. Oh, it's a busy day today.
Busy, busy day. It's good to be busy.
It is good to be busy. So here are our categories. General knowledge. NBA top scoring duos. These are people that have scored 50 or more as a duo in a game. That should be easy, because I'm going to give you the team, and I'll give you a year. So it should be easy if you get the two players. U.S. presidential trivia, which is just a quick hint, and you should be able to get that, too. Like, if I go to you, Jen, first president.
Well, George Washington.
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
If they're all that easy.
Right. It's a quick hint, and boom, you're supposed to get the president. And then finally, things that Alanis Morissette finds ironic.
Now wait.
Yes.
Right. That's got to be very subjective.
Things that Alanis Morissette finds ironic. In other words, in her song.
Okay, just that song?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Oh, I'm going to rock
the
that category.
Song's ironic. So I'm going to give you the hint. I'm going to give you part of the lyric. You fill in the blank. See, very easy.
All right.
All right. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show today. Get your calls in quick. We got some guests. We got some general knowledge. We got the sweets thing. We got what's brewing with Jen. We got all kinds of stuff going on today. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 219 Mike Missinelli Show, 2 o'clock hour on a General Knowledge Thursday. Is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is one of Ferguson's county locations. Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, Westchester. Do that today. The Twitter poll is brought to us and powered by Moyer.com. So make sure you got the change in there. Moyer.com. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. It's powered by Moyer.com. Carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and much more. Order online at PoweredByMoyer.com. So there you go. Powered by Moyer. It used to be Paul B. Moyer. Now it is poweredbymoyer.com. Jennifer Scordo with today's Twitter poll, Jen.
Well, we have two Twitter polls today so far for your enjoyment. The first one, with the Sixers struggling so much offensively, should they move Ben Simmons right now? You can answer yes, just get it done, or no, get the best deal. Right now, early votes sit at 50-50.
50-50. Yep. I know there's a lot of people that are giving in here because of the Sixers' recent woes, but... you can't panic.
Hang tight.
Just can't panic.
All right, Twitter poll number two. Hockey coaches have a short shelf life. Is Flyers coach Alain Vigneault in danger of losing his job? You can answer yes or no. 84% winning right now is yes.
My goodness. I bet they're reading an email from a disgruntled Flyer fan, too. But just to clarify a couple things. Yes, we were talking about the lockout. And there are a couple marquee free agents still out there, but GMs cannot talk to agents during this time.
Yeah, but what I mean is...
On the ultra sly.
That's
they
what
could.
I mean.
However, you know, these things have been easily trackable lately, and teams can really get whacked if they do it.
Yeah, so, and also what you do is you have Harper talk to them.
Yeah.
Harper's agent.
Yeah, you could do that, and I don't know how the owners will react to that, but whatever. You back channel it somehow.
Yeah, you can't just languish with all this time. Yeah. You got to be. Yeah. Dombrowski doesn't have. I mean, he has to follow rules, but his job is to, whenever they play baseball, have that team in the best situation.
Yeah. If
you get your right fielder's best baseball friend, not best friend in life, but best baseball friend on the team, you do it.
Yeah.
Find a way.
I got you. All right, this guy is a Flyer fan, and he's really peeved.
Really?
Yeah. His name is Steven, and he says, let me start by saying I am a lifelong Flyers fan. Hockey is my favorite sport. I never thought I would say this, but I am now actually actively rooting for this team to lose until a massive overhaul occurs with this organization. This pathetic organization has been driving away fans for the past 9 years with their incompetence and lack of savvy front office personnel who can actually put together a semblance of quality hockey team. The fact that Chuck Fletcher is just skating by as this team further drifts into a bottom five NHL team in this league really makes me want to puke. It's a shame because for all the flaws that Flyer fans have, they've been incredibly loyal throughout the history of this franchise and have really given this current front office a long leash over the past decade. At some point, you have to say enough is enough. And I think that is why you are seeing the frustration manifest the way it is with this organization. Sorry for the tone of this email, but I really needed to get this off my chest. I will no longer be supporting this squad.
Well, I mean, stop lying to that part. But the rest of it was good. No, the rest of it was good, but come on. You see, of course he's going to still support
the squad. Says, well, I'm done with this. No, you're never done, but I get it. I get it. Yeah, seven in a row. Come on, man. You can't lose seven in a row in this league.
No, now.
You can't be pathetic on the power play. I mean, this team has been killed on the power play. For the last several years, they can't seem to get it together on the power play.
You're right. And the Fletcher's defense a little bit was that some of the injuries he could not forecast. Like, no one thought that the Hayes injury, he got that surgery a long time ago. Came back, had to have another surgery. There's no way he could have projected that. He's a second-line guy.
Good player. Ellis, not a great scorer, though.
Yeah, but
anyway.
But you talk about being pathetic. He's a leader.
Yeah.
He's a guy that doesn't let you lose that way.
Yeah.
And Ellis getting hurt's a big deal, too.
It is.
They can't back. Getting a good player is important.
Yeah. They're just impotent offensively, though.
But there is one person who deserves a ton of blame, and I never thought I'd jump to that. What's up with the captain? Now, when you're losing this often, at some point...
He's old.
And I'm not talking about him scoring something. I'm talking about, did they come out when... Now, there was another conflict where the Sixers are playing at the same time, so I can't watch these whole games when they're both playing. Mm-hmm. But every time I turn them on, I don't see the urgency from them or from him to do something different. I just see him kind of rolling it out there and doing the same thing every game.
You're right about that. You're right about that. Here's the worst thing, because Florida fans for years have been criticized for always, like, on the power play, go shoot. They don't shoot. They don't shoot.
You're right.
They don't shoot the puck.
Pass.
Yeah, they're among the worst teams in the league as far as actually shooting the puck on the power play.
They don't do, and that's what the Flyers thing used to be. You put it on the net and hope somebody gets they call it greasy goal, whatever you call it. Try something else, because what's working now is not working. Also, people that I say that Vigneault might have been figured out, the whole operate behind the net and do that stuff, they say that teams catch on to that stuff. So maybe the coach needs to try to do something different as well. But I'm a little upset with Giroux, not because of he's not scoring a goal a game. It just seems like they're not going through the motions, but they're not doing anything different. And he's supposed to be in that sport kind of responsible for that.
I hear you. I was reading where Voracek's got, 10 points on the power play already?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't that just figure?
Couldn't do a damn thing here.
Doesn't that figure? All right, let's start the program on the phones here on a General Knowledge Thursday with Greg in Bethlehem wants to talk Flyers. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. It's hard to know where to go with the Flyers. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like they have the speed, the size, or the puck handling to be successful. I mean, they don't take the body very often. They don't skate people off the puck. They're chasing the puck constantly in the defensive zone. They're very seldom can they stick handle through the neutral zone and get the puck in. Power plays, dump and chase, I don't know how much of that. I think a lot of it is lack of talent.
I agree with you. Correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, because I look at these teams they play, and it always seems like the other team has more dynamic offensive players.
I know.
The Flyers are just kind of there. The other team's got to jump, and like a dynamic player can go end to end or you swivel around somebody. I don't see with the Flyers.
No, I mean, I don't know. There's nobody. I was trying to find the Flyers the other night, and it wasn't on the channel it was supposed to be on, and they were showing highlights. And I forget who it was. It might have been Tkachuk. They were showing a highlight of him stick handling through all five guys on the other team and getting the shot off.
Yeah.
He missed the shot. But
it always seems to be a dynamic offensive players on the opposition.
It was strong on the puck. You got to shoot the puck. I think when you don't have confidence, the tendency is to pass the ball to pass to somebody else to let them pull the trigger.
They don't put any pressure on the defense. They just don't. They don't come in waves. You got to be talented to come in waves. They lack some depth to skating offensive players.
Well, I don't see any solution. I mean, I don't know if Ellis, if he's going to be coming back, but or Hayes, but even with that, I mean, I just don't see the pieces.
I agree. All right, man, you want to start the General Knowledge today?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this should be an easy one to start. And what's in what subject are students often asked to use a compass and a protractor? I don't think they do that anymore, but back in the day they did. What subject students are also they still do it? They're often asked to use a compass and a protractor.
Well, it's part of geometry.
That is geometry. Hold on a second. Yeah, protractor, you get those triangles. You can draw them.
Yeah, you still have, yeah, they still do those.
Yeah, how else would you do it?
Circles and circumference and, I don't know, everybody uses computers now anyway. You push a button, it comes up.
I mean, that's true, but they still have to teach it, right?
Yeah,
show your work?
Yeah, the classes, they're still with paper in the class. Yeah, yeah, that's
good. So you got to buy a compass these days still? You got to stick that little golf pencil in there?
I think in the book now itself, it comes with a compass that you like. You can use. The same thing.
That's good knowledge by you, man.
I know some schools have that. I don't know if every school has that. I know some schools, though, the book, like in the back of the book.
You still got the compass that like makes the hole in the paper?
Oh, yeah. And that's sharp. Yeah.
Look at the point.
I don't know why that point was so sharp.
It was really sharp.
The weapon.
Yeah, for kids, like, I got to understand.
For hooligans, it was a weapon.
That's what I mean. If you're out at the site, if you're an architect, then fine. But in class, you make that thing a little duller. I know a weird kid that would use it on himself to gross people out.
Ew. That grosses me out now.
Yeah, I got a lot of gross. Well, you know those gross kids in school.
Kids will do. Like, I substitute taught way back in the day. Mm-hmm. Because in my old school district, because the principal of the school was a friend, and the rule, if you can't find a certified teacher, you can just get somebody who has a degree to be a substitute teacher for a day. So I roll in there, it's a fifth grade class. Mm-hmm. And my God, were there some bad kids in that class. So one kid sticks a pencil as the other kid's getting ready to sit down. He puts a sharp pencil. Holds a sharp pencil. The kid sits on the pencil.
Oh.
Right? So I got to handle this
situation.
That's
a violation.
So I did everything I could to chastise this kid, through that. And then I said, I'm gonna throw you out of this class. And he goes, no, you won't. I go, why not? He goes, because I'll go home and get my daddy's sawed-off shotgun and blow your ass. They said to me, you're right. I go,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, so you threw him out, right?
Yes, I threw him out. I said, everybody in the principal's office. I told him what he said.
Today, that school would have been shut down. If you would have mentioned it, you know what I mean? The school would have been shut down. Somebody would have gone to jail.
Why are you little punk?
Kids can be awful.
All right, anyway. Mary and Colmar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mary.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Mary?
Nothing. I was calling to talk about the Eagles, and I wanted to discuss about their wide receiver selection and, you know, what they say about, 2020 and our guy that we picked was definitely not the right one based on the last several games that we had.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Is there anything that you think that they could do to make it better? So, like, why do we have a history of selecting terrible wide receivers year after year?
They got a good one in the last draft because they drafted high. It does seem that their reasoning is questionable when it comes to the perilous 18 to 23 spot as far as a wide receiver. All you can say is the general manager is not deft. He's not deft enough. You know, he went for a Rager when there were two better options. One, that he could have traded into a spot. The other, the guy was right there for him, and he took another guy, which showed that he's trying to show everybody he's smarter than everybody else because nobody really had Jalen Rager in that spot.
No, definitely not. I don't understand it. I don't get it at all.
I don't know, Mayor. I don't know what to tell you. That's why there's mistrust with this particular general manager. But again, the frustration is he's not going anywhere. He's going to be here to oversee this, this transition year, as they call it. And he's got three first round picks next year. They're not going to take the ball out of his hands now.
Yeah, that's true. And I had another quick topic about Jalen Hurts and his ankle.
Yes.
And the offensive line. Now, can you think back to how many of our other quarterbacks had well, until recently, had like such a good offensive line compared to all the other guys who've had pretty, you know, shady looking.
They've had decent lines. Their lines haven't been terrible.
In the heyday,
McNabb had a good line. The line was pretty good when they won the Super Bowl.
Okay, McNabb.
Yeah. they won the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah,
their line was okay. Yeah. And their line's good. Their line's good now.
Well, then, right. So then why is he, you know, falling out of the
pocket?
Well,
because he doesn't have as much patience as he should have right now as a pocket passer. The line's not the problem with him.
No, that's what I mean. I'm like, he can't even say, is what I was trying to say. He can't say that they're not protecting him and he needs to, you know, do all these crazy moves, and he just doesn't. He needs to just let them do their job,
Mary. You're sharp. All right, Mary, listen, I'm going to give you a general knowledge question. Should be easy for you.
All right, sounds good.
I don't know how well you know the NBA, but the NBA top scoring duos, these are two players on the same team who combine to score at least 50 points per game in a single season. So last year, the Wizards did it. Who were the teammates that scored over 50 points a game?
I would have done a lot better if I'm a teacher. I used to be a teacher on the last question.
Sorry about that. You can't even guess on that one, huh? Well, of course, that was Bradley Beal, and it was Russell Westbrook combined to score more than 50 points.
Yeah.
53.5, in fact, they combined the score.
To lose in the first round.
Yeah. So I thought she was going to be able to snag that one. All right, let's go. Spanky from Cobbs Creek. What's up, Spank?
Oh, my God, Mike. I gotta get a root canal. This is killing me. I can't take it. Oh, my God. Can you hear me, Mike?
You seriously are getting a root canal?
No, I got to get one. And they got me an appointment.
I thought Philadelphia Sports was giving you a painful root canal.
Literally, you
need a root canal.
Yeah, man. They gave me an appointment for the 13th, and I go to Jamaica on the 17th. I can't wait that long, man. This is killing me right now.
Oh, dude, you got to get in there. They got to get in there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them just take it out, Mike. I can't take this.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I'm dying right here with this Philadelphia sports teams, right, Mike Brown. Like, all right, so I watched that game yesterday. That was horrible to watch that Sixers game, man. Like, I just want them to do it now, Mike. I know what you say. I know what everybody else is saying, but, like, we got to get somebody else on this team that could put the bucket in the basket, man. This is ridiculous. I'm tired of one-nighters, might be Seth Curry, Tobias ain't really, you know what, Mike? Tobias' stats are so empty, it's ridiculous. It's like he ain't even on the team sometimes. But every now and then he give you 20. Like, I just don't understand. I want somebody who can put the bucket in the basket, Mike. I'm sick of this right now.
Well, listen, I hear you, man. I'm giving Tobias some leeway because of the COVID situation. I can't, you know, pretend to think that he's 100% healthy. But, you know, you're right. He has been very inconsistent. But again, you can't panic trade. Spank, you can't panic trade here. You can't.
Mike, how far? Let me ask you a question. You really think they're going to climb back into the fifth or fourth spot the way they are right now if they keep losing these games? Because they look disjointed right now.
They do look disjointed, and I can't tell you. I do believe that they'll have a decent seed. I do think they're going to make a deal. Yeah, they're two games out of the fifth seed right now. I think the deal will happen late this month or even in January.
I hope so, Mike. So I'm seeing names out there, and I'm not talking about like all right, for instance. Kemba is is out of there.
No.
They don't want. No, I'm not saying go get him as far as like in a trade for Ben, but would you take Kemba on any other type deal?
Who would you trade for?
Well, oh yeah, I guess you would have to give up Ben, right? I mean,
you'd have to give up a big salary. Yeah, but like, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm not trading Tobias Harris for him. I'm not trading Ben for him.
Mike, I think Tobias Harris should be on the trade block too, Mike.
He makes 30 mil. It's like, it's not easy to trade him.
Mike, how come we just can't get We can't get it, Spanky.
Hey, you gotta hang in. You're ruining it. You got that root canal you're thinking about. You got the Christmas activity. You got to just chill out right now.
All right, man. I'm gonna give it a couple weeks.
All right, give it a couple weeks. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question.
All right,
U.S. presidential trivia.
Okay.
He played football for the University of Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Which president played football for the University of Michigan?
George Bush.
No. George Bush ain't playing anything. His old man played baseball at Yale, but George didn't do anything.
I don't know what president went to Michigan.
Really? Gerald R. Ford was a football player in Michigan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Jerry. He's a center. That's what I used to say. He got banged in the head too much. Remember, he used to fall. Chevy Chase would do the Gerald Ford.
Yes. No, it's terrible. Do we have an over under today?
Yeah, 7.1.
7.1. Well, you're not believing in him today.
So far, how's that look? How's that look so far?
We started off strong.
Just to clarify the Kemba Walker thing. Number one, no. Not because of any money. He can't play anymore. He's out of the rotation for the Knicks. They said he's not going to play basketball for us. He makes $8.7 million this year and $9.1 million next year. So you could find a trade for him, but why do you want a player who can't play?
Yeah.
He's not. I understand you like people like his name. He can't play basketball anymore. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Yeah. His knees have gone to the point where he was always terrible defensively. Now his offense doesn't make up for it. So now what you're getting is Curry on defense and Thibodeau on offense. I don't want that.
Yeah, I saw the end of that Nets-Knicks game the other night. The Knicks were all up in arms about the officiating.
Yeah.
Randall wanted to kill somebody.
Yeah, it was a bad call.
Yeah.
But don't let the game come down to that.
Yeah.
That's another guy, speaking of New York, Blake Griffin now out of the rotation.
Yeah, he's out.
You know his name, but that don't mean he can play.
Nope. Devin in Woodbury Heights, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Devin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Devin?
How are
you doing?
Come on. I just wanted to talk about Embiid's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I really think the double overtime game against Minnesota really took a toll on his body, because you got to think he played 45 minutes, but then he
first game back. You're right. It might have. That's why I can't overreact to these guys that are coming off the deck with COVID.
Yeah. So he played 8 minutes at a fourth, and then another 20 minutes total without getting a break or anything.
Yeah,
but I always have faith in Joel Embiid because his resume speaks for itself. Like, you know, he'll bounce back.
You just
got to give him time over time. And I think the chemistry between Maxey and Embiid has to work, because their pick and roll, it seems like they're not on the right
page. Well, Embiid's not a great pick and roll guy, unfortunately. I think Maxey has been a little bit reticent since playing back with Embiid, but I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and then don't get me wrong, I love Maxey, I love Curry, but I just feel like at the end of the day, the scoring, it's not consistent because the backcourt's too small, and we don't really have they're not really good perimeter defenders when it comes down to crunch time to get stops.
The backcourt's too small.
Yeah.
Oh, the backcourt's too small. I was going to say, wasn't the regulation backcourt the other day? All right, I got you, brother. All right, it's time for general knowledge, man. All right. I don't know how well you know Alanis Morissette.
But I have no idea who that is.
You have no idea who Alanis Morissette is?
Nope.
Well, he gets the question he gets.
All right,
yeah, I can't. I got to take it now, so.
Should I let Jen help him?
No.
No. Foo Fighter tickets?
All right, here's
can't be messing around with Foo Fighter tickets.
Here's the lyric. An old man turned 98. He won the blank and died the next day. An old man turned 98. He won the and died the next day.
I'm taking a guess here. He won the tickets.
He won the tickets. He won the tickets. Tickets to what? Chocolate Town? He won the lottery and died the next day. That's what's ironic about it. You see? It's ironic. Guy's 98. Finally wins the lottery, dies.
Is that the first verse of the song? Is that how it starts?
It might be.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. General Knowledge Wednesday. And it is, of course, brought to you by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who kind of have the most accurate and reliable high-tech measurement tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. And today's prize, no joke, pair of tickets to see the Foos July 24th at Lincoln Financial Field. Back after a quick break.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
247, Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5, The Fanatic. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Hembo with Hembo Stats. Eric Carabel, fantasy football advice at 4 o'clock. What's Brewing with Jen coming up? Matt Breen coming up. And General Knowledge Wednesday. You can't beat this day. It's just it's a show that just is stuffed. So let's go back to the phones because Chuck in Habitown's been hanging. Chuck, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Chucky, what's up?
How's everything? Okay?
Good.
Good. About the Eagles, like Tyrone has said, you wait till the end of the season, I think. Let Hurts play every game and see how he works out. But, you know, the other day or Sunday, he made a couple bad throws and that's all my point is. Like, it's the throwing arm. Now, he also was a victim of a couple drop passes. So that came into play, too.
Late.
I think he has in him to come back. Like, I think he could bring the team back. He seems like a great, great guy and everything. And, you know.
I'll be honest. This great guy thing is starting to wear on me. I really care. He's a great guy. I really don't.
Well, that's the thing, Mike, is, you know, I hope he has the arm. Like,
I need him to be a player. And and for him to snap back, against the Jets, he should be able to. He should be able to influence this game enough offensively for them to win easy.
I agree, and I think they're probably better than the Giants still, but yet they can't have any room for error against any team. They're not – the competition's not great, but, you know, they – the Giants
– they beat the Jets, we're going to be back talking playoffs again.
Yeah,
because then we can see the rest of the schedule. Although Washington's going to be no joke for them,
right? And can I just say one thing about the Flyers?
Sure.
So they've lost 7 in a row. Is that correct?
Correct.
I admit I follow them peripherally. I know what's going on with them, but does anybody know? Is that the most they've ever lost in a row? I guess not. Right? As a franchise. I think they
had a 10-game losing streak at one point.
Okay. And then lastly about the Sixers, they should – look, same thing. I do know what's going on with Simmons, but regular season, I know you can't just turn it on when you get to the playoffs, but the regular season, not to say it's meaningless. No, you've got to play good every night, but take your time with and get the best deal you can.
I agree. Mean, you just got to sit here. You got to take it, man. It's still early in the regular season.
They're still early.
I get that they're dropping in the seeding. I get it. But you just can't. You can't panic trade.
Right. They're not going to miss the playoffs. So
right.
Yeah. So all right.
All right, man. And the general knowledge question for you is the general knowledge category, and here it is: what country's current currency is called the lira?
Italy.
That is incorrect. They're on the Euro system. Sorry about that. So, Turkey, the monetary element is the lira, which leads me to this. Who's stealing lira in the NBA? Who's stealing Lira in the NBA? Can you answer that question?
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh.
I know.
He wears number 30 right now.
That was good, Mike. That was good.
Where's all the love for the Lira man? I don't know if $6 million isn't Lira.
Yes. He's, yeah, it's.
It's got a Will in New York. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. Born in Levittown, raised there. So I live in New York now, so I've been in this.
Whoa, Levittown, man, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Tullytown, actually.
Oh, Tullytown. That's even better.
Yeah.
It's even closer to my roots.
It's except for when the dump stinks in the summer.
Yeah, there's a dump there, but there's a river, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this is what I wanted to talk about, guys. I think, you know, we go back and forth about the players and the team, but really the biggest misery in Philadelphia sports is our front office. I mean, you go up and down the board and we have an incompetent front office and on pretty much every level.
That's not true.
Well, let me finish.
All right, go.
Look at the Flyers. We haven't had a superstar since Lindros, okay?
Yeah, the Flyers, you may be making a decent case. I think, Fletcher has gotten the pass.
Their hockey team. Right.
Sixers front office has been buttoned. The Sixers front office, there hasn't really been a problem.
Well, here's the thing. With the Sixers front office, I have confidence in Morey, but look at what they wasted with the process. Okay, look at all the draft capital that was wasted.
They also got rid of some GMs, but they also were able to get Embiid and Simmons in the process.
Yeah, I get it. Like, if I had confidence, if I had to rank them 1 through 4, I had the most confidence in the Sixers front office at this point.
All right, now you make a case for the Eagles. Okay, I got you.
We're never going to see an offseason like this again. Mm-hmm. And tell me, if you want to make a bet right now, you think Roseman's going to score on one of those three draft picks or more than one?
Yeah, I think he's going to score on one of them.
Right, a blind man could score on one of them.
Well, I don't know about that.
This is an off season. We're never. I know in my lifetime, I'm never going to see again. You know, and the Phillies, one of the biggest markets in baseball. We had this great run.
Yeah, but they just made a big shift, a seismic shift in their front office.
Like,
so they're trying. They're attempting to correct it.
But they
got a very well respected GM to rebuild it. So you can't complain
name
about
one.
That.
Name one front office era in the last 15, 20 years that you can be proud of.
The Eagles won a Super Bowl, man. The Eagles won a Super Bowl in the last 20 years, and so did the Phillies win a World Series the last 20 years.
Yes,
right.
True.
Lightning in the bottle.
The Phillies were built to win for several years. Come on. I hear your point. You might be going a tad overboard, but I get you.
I'll go back to Tampa Bay. Smallest market.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Well,
I understand, bro. Relax. You got to chill. You made a good point.
I'm just saying.
All right, you made a good point.
We go down on our superstars. We get down on our superstars, but nobody.
No. We always talk about the inefficiency of the front office. Would you like a general knowledge question before I move on? Okay, this is the NBA category. Top scoring duos, teammates who combine to score at least 50 points per game in a single season. I'm going to go now with last year again. The Celtics did it. Who were the what was the duo?
Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
That's correct. Tatum and Jaylen Brown. My man was a little aggravated. I can see why. But last 20 years, I mean, you can't.
Can't say that.
Can't use that big of a brush.
We ain't got two championships.
Yeah, it's got to be a smaller brush. 610-632-0975. Coming up, Hembo. Are the Eagles a lock? We'll see what the Hembo stats say about the game with the Jets on Sunday back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Mussinelli Show. It's brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pot hoagie party tray is every bit as good. I always look forward to visits from our next guest because he pops my eyeballs out with some of the statistics that he brings up. And of course, he is the content producer for the ESPN show Get Up, also a contributor to Mike Greenberg's radio show. He is, of course, the great Paul Hembekidis, but we know him affectionately as Hembo. Yes. A dance hall groove going. He's Hembo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Hembo.
Mikey Miss, how you doing today, brother?
We are doing good. You know what's great? We so need people like you in this world. You know why?
Why is that?
Because you are willing to do the dirty stat work that we all need. And I classify this first stat as a dirty stat because you just couldn't rest. You couldn't rest about the Jalen Hurts, the numbers in general. You had to go deep inside the numbers and somehow bring Jalen Reagor into it.
Well, there is really no reason to identify an area of weakness on this Jets defense because it's the worst one in the NFL. So let me start here, and I'm going to work my way to Jalen Hurts,
okay.
Jalen Reagor.
Yes.
For context on this Jets defense, just to set this up properly. They have allowed 39 touchdowns this year, and they have forced 39 punts. We're talking about the worst unit in the NFL. So I'd rather talk about Jalen Hurts' ball distribution today because I was sitting there in the end zone at MetLife Stadium right in front of Jalen Reagor's drop and then his second drop last week in the stadium. You might not know this about me. My wife comes from a long line of Giants fans, season tickets back to like the Polo Grounds. I'm talking about like lifers. Uh-huh. So this was a rough week for me, thus sort of stirring my venom here.
Oh, so my.
I did an exercise, Mike.
You're sitting there with the wife at this game?
With the wife at this game, her brother, surrounded by a bunch of obviously.
Oh, man. And it's a dagger through the heart when he drops those two balls.
Okay. Excruciating. Excruciating.
So you had it out for him all week.
Yes. And so what I did was I was a keyboard warrior this week and turning this one up for you. So I did an exercise, Mikey Miss, in which I effectively eliminated every single one of Jalen Hurts' targets to Jalen Reagor. And the results are staggering. Here's what I came up with. So if you just look at this Jalen Hurts' QBR when targeting everyone this year, that number is 55 out of 100. That's, you know, reasonably good. It's about average. Uh-huh. When he targets everyone aside from Jalen Reagor, so like literally every target aside from Jalen Reagor, that number goes from 55 to 66. Okay, so that might not sound like a lot, but that scaled 0 to 100. And in the world in which I live, 11 percentage points is actually a chasm. It is, in fact, the difference, equivalent to the difference between Tom Brady and Teddy Bridgewater. So what I'm telling you, Mike, is that there is no player in the NFL who undermines his quarterback more than Jalen Reagor. Again, when he targets anyone else, that number is 66. For context, one more. I know I'm sort of driving home the numbers here, but I want to sort of drive home why that number is so important. If I just do an exercise, Mike, in which I pull up the highest QBR on pass plays this season, that would put him third as the number three passer in the NFL behind only Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray. Again, if only you exclude his target to Jalen Reagor. That is how actively bad Jalen Reagor is this
season. It's like he's the opposite of war. it's losses below replacement.
His war on Sunday was minus one, like minus a full one. It's impossible to be worse. Right now, when Jalen Hurts throws the ball to Jalen Reagor, his QBR is 5.8. That's 0 to 100. It is the worst tandem in the NFL by most any reasonable standard of measure. So as I'm sitting there freezing my butt off at MetLife on Sunday, as I'm leaving there, I can't help but think to myself, like, this is just the front office trying to desperately prove themselves right when it's already too late. He is undermining the development of the quarterback. Say what you will about Jalen Hurts, but if you do the exercise that I just did, the numbers suggest, at least to me, that Jalen Reagor is a huge part of the problem.
That's amazing, and that's something probably their analytics team should have uncovered as well, right?
So here, right. So that's my next question. Here's my kickback. If I'm a researcher at ESPN, Mike, and I can dig up that information, there have to be people in the building with the Eagles that have access to the same stuff. And if so, how on earth can you justify playing him as much as you do? And obviously, in some sense, how can Jalen justify targeting him as much as he has? I mean, obviously, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
But, like, we have black and white data, Mike, that says this player is actively hurting your team. And it is making an enormous difference in the development of the quarterback and undermining the Eagles' success on offense.
Very interesting. That being said, there can't be a way that the Eagles lose this game because this Jets team is just god-awful.
I mean, there's absolutely no excuse for the Eagles not to ambush the Jets, especially early in this game. These numbers are staggering, too. The Jets have been outscored by more than 11 points per game this season in the first half. That is the worst mark by any team over the last 20 years.
20 years.
All right, so 20 years. And then Zach Wilson starts, their overmatched rookie. The Jets have run 38 first half drives and totaled 31 points on those 38 drives. It's astonishing. Collectively, we have Wilson ranked dead last among all qualified quarterbacks against man coverage, when blitzed, when not blitzed, when pressured, when in the pocket, when in the red zone, and on third down. There is absolutely no excuse for the Eagles not to bump
up. You know, if they lose this game, you can make the argument that this is would be the most embarrassing loss in franchise history. Based on how bad this team they're playing is.
The Jets are the worst team in the NFL. The reason I'm more familiar with the Jets than you might expect is because I do a radio show with Mike Greenberg, of course, so we talk about them in decent amounts. They are way worse than the winless Lions. I mean, a lot worse. And when I was doing my research this week in advance of the game, they rank less favorably than both the Texans, who they just beat, and the Lions, and, like, practically everything. I agree with you. Eagles find a way to lose this game. It would be one of the worst losses, at least.
Now, that said, the Lions, 6.5, is not, like, crazy, but the Jets never cover the spread. So, right? Am I right?
Yeah, no. You're right. The trends say the Eagles should cover this number this weekend. So the Jets this season, Mike, are 2-8 against the spread. That is the worst record in the NFL. And against teams outside the current playoff field, like the Jets are, of course, the Eagles are 5-2 against the number this year, with the second best cover margin in the league, almost 11 points per game. And you probably have run into this note at some point this week, but if you are into the historical stuff, the Eagles are 11-0 all time against the Jets. That's the best team versus team record in NFL history. It's obviously not meaningful, but for fans,
That's what I mean. It would be most embarrassing if they lost this game.
For
all
sure.
right, so let's go to the ESPN Football Power Index, which I always love. They got to be high, right, to beat the Jets.
Yes, our model says the Eagles have a 69% chance to win. It was a little less than I expected. That equates to about a 6.5-point favorite, which is, of course, right in line with Vegas, but what was a little more discouraging to me, Mike, was that if the Eagles win, which we are, at least I'm sort of assuming here, their playoff chances only really improve to 28%. So our model's sort of building that in to the projection. So I'm not just interested in this game, of course. I want to sort of game this thing out with you. So because I couldn't help myself, as I'm still steaming over this loss to the Giants last week, I ran through every remaining scenario. And, Mike, our model says that the Eagles are likely to make the playoffs so long as they finish 4-1. That obviously gets them to 9-8, and it doesn't really matter where the loss comes. So in every 4-1 scenario to end the season, the Eagles have a better than a 50% chance.
So that's saying they have to beat Washington and beat Dallas.
Yes, that's exactly what it says. My best guess here, and obviously last week's loss was super discouraging, is that they're going to be 8-8 heading into Week 18 against Dallas. Who knows what's going to be at stake for Dallas at that point? And the way that Washington's playing right now, like, I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch. I feel a heck of a lot worse now than I did a week ago this time.
All right. That's good stuff, man. We always appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. And give me your prediction.
I think the Eagles are going to win this game by double figures. The Jets can't stop the run at all. The Jets are the worst team the Eagles are going to play all season. I'm hoping it looks a lot like the Lions game. I'll say the Eagles by something somewhere between 10 and 14.
I agree with you, but the line is fishy, so I don't know.
All right.
Thanks, brother. He is, ladies and gentlemen, Hebo. That's awesome. Have a great week, brother. We'll talk to you.
You're a good man.
There's Hebo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Who did that song? Do we know who did that song? That Hebo song? Who recorded that for us?
It was the same person that did your Friday open, a guy who produced it.
Oh, was that Kyle? Kyle?
He got one of the singers he had to do it.
Oh, man.
Singer that he
knew. Kyle. Nice job, man.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was, Kyle was behind
that's
that.
That's very cool. Also, we have three open lines. A lot of people get off when a guest comes on. So if you want to climb back in, it's 610-632-0975. General Knowledge Wednesday. Foo Fighters tickets are at stake. Let's get Artoon in Bethlehem. What's up, Artoon?
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
So I have a funny story here. Because I was in D.C. for the Thanksgiving weekend, starting Wednesday, actually.
Right.
And on the way back on Sunday, we stopped in Virginia for the Air and Space Museum, and we're coming back home. We stopped by somewhere to eat, and the game is on. I don't want to watch the game at all. I don't want to know anything. I don't listen to the, you know, I don't look at my Twitter, Facebook, nothing. And then I come home and I turn on my TiVo just to watch the game, and it's not even recorded. So my TiVo knew it was going to be a painstaking.
So you were planning to record it. That's why you didn't want to look at it. And
of course.
And then
of course.
You didn't. Oh, well, you spared yourself misery.
Yes, I know. My TiVo.
Yeah, it worked out. Your TiVo took care of you.
And as a proud Turkish American, I have to say the lira was a very interesting question because
you had that. You were all over that.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, there are other Turkish players stealing lira right now. There is one in Boston Celtics right now too.
So. Oh, you're talking about Cantor or what did he change his name to?
Freedom. Or Shuttle and Dribble.
Andy Freedom.
So his last name actually means blood and sweat in Turkish. Kantash.
Really?
Khan means blood. Tan means sweat.
That's not a bad last name.
And he changed it.
Yeah. Why did he change it, do you know?
I don't.
He just doesn't want to be associated with Turkey anymore?
No, he explained it.
Yeah, I know he's got issues with the president. I get that.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. 82 million lira Korkmaz is stealing.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, Turkoglu was not that great when he started, too. He, though.
Turkoglu was a good player. Yeah. Turkoglu could fire.
Well, he could. He put on some pounds and he got better.
Yeah, he is a good player, Turkoglu.
Yeah, of course he was.
All right.
He's head of Turkish Association of Basketball now.
Oh, is he really? Oh, good for him. All right, here's your general knowledge question. It has to do with the U.S. presidential trivia.
Okay.
So we'll go with this one here. Who is the only Hawaiian-born president?
Barack Obama.
That is correct. Barack Obama is the only Hawaiian-born president. So we're inching up. We got three correct answers?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not a bad start.
Yeah, we're doing good.
All right.
We're doing good.
Let's get Duke and West Philly in here. Duke, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Duke?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Ty. I got two things I'd like to cover.
Go ahead.
First one, Ty, who wrote that song, Float On, Float On?
Modest Mouse. Why?
Every time Hurst throw the ball over 20 yards.
What?
The ball floats.
Oh, I got
all
you.
All right. But that's corny.
That's totally corny, man.
All right, here's the other one. Did you notice how Doc got mad at Keith Pompey last night?
Yeah, you know, I've been privy to some information. The Sixers aren't really happy with Keith Pompey, which I think is great because that means he's asking the right questions.
Yeah, he got mad when he said that Joel was ducking the centers.
He was ducking what?
He was ducking.
Well, it wasn't last night. When was it?
No, it was about when he was playing Utah, I think it is. He was ducking Rudy.
Oh, that was last season.
And Keith put that up, and he said, "You starting stuff, Keith?"
He said that to him last night.
No, that was another interview.
Oh,
that was when they was doing Zoom.
Oh, all right, talking. Yeah, I don't know where you're going with this.
Like you don't like Keith at all.
Well listen, coaches aren't going to like reporters that ask probing questions, which I always thought was a badge of honor. If a coach doesn't like your question, it means you're getting to him.
That's
it means
right.
He doesn't want to admit something that you're right about.
Yeah. Yeah, he, I don't know if his coaching ability is being questionable. It's definitely coming up questionable now. And also, I'm disappointed. Why are they letting Thabo shoot jump shots?
Listen, they got it. He's got to be able to shoot them. They're wide open. They're double. His man's coming off them. He's got a wide open look. If he's not going to make that, he's not going to make anything. He can't not take that shot. It would be embarrassing if he didn't take that shot wide open.
It seems like he'd do a better job driving to the basket.
He doesn't handle it that well to get to the basket, first of all. But you can't pass up an open three.
Yeah, all these guys, they're getting paid top dollar to perform. I have to agree with that.
Yeah. All right, man. Listen, I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse, but it's a Alanis Morissette ironic. Yeah, are you going to be able to answer this one?
I have no clue who that is. I could have got the last one. Brock, that was easy.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's a song ironic, and it's a lyric. I'll give it to you, and you might be able to guess it.
Go ahead.
All right. It's a blank, blank pardon 2 minutes too late. See, it's all about the ironies. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. See the irony there? All of a sudden you get the pardon and you're dead.
My goodness.
You win the lottery, you die the next day.
That's right. See the irony?
Yeah, no, I was more talking about his answer.
Oh, what did he say?
No, I don't want to
say it.
Oh, really?
Not supposed to say it.
Oh, I didn't hear
I mean, it's
what
not like
said.
The bad words, but it's not appropriate.
I didn't hear him say it.
I guess he thinks ironic's a different kind of song.
I guess. Well, Alanis, so far we've had two Alanis questions, and both candidates did not know who she was.
Yeah, flat out doesn't know who she is.
Doesn't know who she is.
That's not great for her.
No, it's not great for her.
If you're listening, Alanis,
we're sorry.
Listen, there's people out there that still love you.
Yeah, I guess you have to be in the wheelhouse of Alanis Morissette to know who she is.
See, the thing is, she was never in my wheelhouse, but that was a big enough album to where it found me. I talk about certain songs find you.
Oh, yeah.
It was
that
big.
Got me.
I didn't buy that album.
I bought it.
I did too.
Every song on it was great.
It's banger after banger.
Great CD.
It's a good album.
A lot of hits. I think it's, all right. I'm glad everybody else likes it.
Yeah, it was boom time. She started the female lead singer boom.
Well,
she did. She gave license to the female front chick.
I don't buy that.
Because Sir Shirley Manson came on like right after her and cited. If you watch this documentary with Alanis, they pay monster tribute to her.
Well, yeah, I mean, you say nice things about people when you ask them, but I don't buy it at all. Because where's the influence now? It didn't last.
I mean, well, listen, it doesn't have to last.
It does have to last.
She defined a moment. It's like a pitcher who dominates for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big album.
Huge. Let's take a break. 610-632-0975 is how you get in the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3:30 update on the Twitter poll time, and it is brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. Take note of that. Powered, P-O-W-E-R-E-D, by Moyer,
Facebook.com is the new way you reach out to the people at Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Jennifer Scordo, today's update on the Twitter poll.
Polls. We have two. Yes. With the Sixers struggling so much offensively, should they move Ben Simmons right now? 45% say yes, just get it done. 55 saying no, well, get close. The best deal.
But that's fairly close. It was 50-50 after open.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
People get a little more patient.
Right, yep. And
the reaction time early on.
That's about 1,000 votes.
The loss.
As of right now. And Twitter poll number two. Hockey coaches have a short shelf life. Is Flyers coach Alain Vigneault in danger of losing his job? 81% say yes.
Well, it's commonplace in the league and especially in this town.
Yeah.
When you slump like that. Although, yeah, they did lose 10 straight. But that same year, they won 10 straight.
Right.
Yeah, but,
Did they didn't fire. Who was the coach then? They didn't fire him after they lost 10 straight.
That had to be the last coach. Had to be.
Who was the last coach?
The Kraken coach.
Oh, that's right. It was,
Boring. Mr. Boring.
Yeah, what was...
I'm blanking on his name, Mr. Boring.
I am, too.
He's so boring.
Hackstall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Hackstall.
The Hextall was boring.
Yeah, that was the Hextall.
Hextall hired Hextall.
Yeah, that's right.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
He's a good coach for what they're doing out there in Seattle. But, so seven's not record-breaking, but it's just you know how it is sport.
They're not good. They don't have zip. They don't have jump.
And the goalie can't save them every night. Once the defense drops in front of them, he can't save you every night. He was saving them early, winning 2-1, winning those games. But, once the defense drops off, now it's 4-5.
Meanwhile, not a great loss for the Sixers either last night. So right now we're in a bit of a slog. But Sunday will pick you up because they should smash the Jets. 6.5, though, is now teasing me.
On the road, they're not good.
Look at it. It looks easy, double digits.
I think 9.5 is no. I don't know. I think they're gonna win the game.
Yeah, I mean they got to win this, but
they're going to win the game.
Are they gonna win it by a slim margin?
I think they win by like 10.
I think so too.
Me too.
The question's going to be, and I don't want to come off like some defeatist. Is does the quarterback with the ankle? If he stays in the pocket more, can he be effective there? Because it looks like Jordan Howard's not going to play again. So now Sanders, who will play, but he's not 100%. Boston Scott, who he played well up there. And then you have Gainwell, who they only throw to. They don't really give him carries anymore.
Yeah.
So that means that maybe they can't run it as much as the fans want them to. I actually think 31 passes is not a big deal, personally, but others do. So I don't think they're going to be able to run it 50 times is really my point.
Yeah.
So that could be the only caveat is if the quarterback can't get it done with a normal number of runs. But I think he should be able to against the Jets. And I tell you this, though, if Rager can't make a play against the Jets, and I don't want him out there against Washington. Since, oh, no, you can't bench him. Oh, yeah? If he can't make a play against the Jets, why is he playing?
I'm looking at it and I go, they got to win this by 2 touchdowns. But then I go, this 6.5 line is telling me that this could be one of those nail biters that they win by a field goal.
Well,
it would have to be a late field goal. And then people would be yelling and screaming even though they got the W.
What about 28-21?
Well, that's fine.
You cover.
But 24-21 on a late field goal will get people up in arms like it's not even a win.
Well, they've been banged up. If they can only beat the Jets by that margin, I think there's a chance that they could lose twice to Washington.
Yes.
If they're not, I'm saying is they showed against the Giants not so great. Okay, we can dismiss that as long as you come out and handle business against the Jets.
Yeah.
If you lose to the Giants, struggle Jets, I can't go into Washington with a bunch of confidence thinking, oh, yeah, because Washington looks competent.
Yeah.
They're not great, but they look competent.
So the Hembo stat says they had 4-1 is what they would have to do. Then you're talking about beating Washington twice, and then you lose to Dallas, or losing to Washington once, and then beating Washington in Dallas. You got to have that kind of combination.
Realistically, I think you beat the Jets, you beat Washington once, you beat the Giants the second time, and
Dallas the last game because it won't be in it.
All right, and I still think looking at the seeding, Dallas is going to be locked in at where they're going to be going into that game, I truly believe. And now the question is, do Eagles make the playoffs? Are they going to Arizona? Are they going to Green Bay? Which I feel for all the media. I hope they don't have to go to Green Bay. They're already upset about the possibility. They don't want to go to Green Bay in January. Or are they going to possibly Dallas back-to-back weeks?
Yeah. All right. One off the track kind of subject. And two things. Number one, if you have a fantasy football question, right now would be a good time to hit me up. So you got two options to hit me up. MikeMiss@975thefanatic.com. Or MikeMiss25 on Twitter, and we'll make sure that I try to get all the questions to Eric Carabell when he comes on at 4 o'clock. The other thing is something happened today in college football that nobody really cares that much about, but I'm wondering if Temple cares.
Okay.
Steve Adazio was the head coach here for a while until he jolted Temple for Boston College.
And they did not like the way he did it. No one was upset about him leaving, but the way he left angered some people on the way out the door.
Yeah, and then he got fired at Boston College. He went to Colorado State and he just got fired at Colorado State.
He failed there, too.
It's probably a safe choice for Temple. Would they do that? Would they go back to him? He was fairly successful.
Fairly successful. All Temple needs to do is be bowl eligible every year. They don't have to win a national title.
New face or old face?
I would go new face, but I do think going older. I don't know if you can just. It's going to be a stepping stone job. But if he came back here, that means he's here for the duration.
Yeah,
because he's not going to get another offer.
I got another name for you.
Who?
Al Golden.
Interesting.
Old school, but was very successful here. Did not achieve the same success in college football. He's an NFL assistant right now.
Right, but he would be another guy who, if he came back, he might stay a while.
Yes.
Because other people are treating it just like, I'm taking this job to get another job.
Right.
I actually think a guy in his 50s would be better than a guy in his 30s.
That goal would make sense.
I like him more than, I think Adazio might be cooked. Because he keeps on failing.
Yeah.
Golden had an opportunity, failed, become an assistant. I would not be against it. He knows the area. And I do think there are people who want to care. Because I noticed how many people cared when they fired the coach, there are people who do care about Temple football more than I thought.
Yeah.
They're engaged in it much more than I thought because they care when the coach got fired. So that means they're paying attention.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot right now. As opposed to me, I'm totally comfortable with my school situation.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good darn thing. Things are settled at Penn State where the guy's going to be there for 73 more years. So I'm good. But Temple,
I actually think Golden is a good thing. Did you read about that or did you?
No, I just popped in because I saw Adazio. I thought of Adazio. When I thought of Adazio, I thought of Golden.
It'd be silly not to make the call.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling, and I'm not rooting for this, there might end up being some turnover over in that basketball program.
Well, they won last night. Big win over LaSalle.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear it. The heat's on Aaron, and we both love him.
Love Aaron. But, I mean, Temple should be making the tournament just like Temple football should be making a bowl. Get to 6-6, and I'll shake your hand, Temple. Get to 6-6 every year.
I agree. Matt in Levittown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Matt?
So I had a question about this Jets-Eagles game. I'm trying to go up there and take my nephew up there. Should I do that? Take a young man to that football game? Is it going to be worth it to go up there?
Yeah, why not?
You'll
see the Eagles win.
Yeah?
Yeah, you see, it's a good game to take a kid to.
All right.
Yeah, another stadium. You can experience another stadium. I think that's fun when you're kind of an underdog fan in the building.
Yeah, we went out to Notre Dame this year, Chicago, when Notre Dame played Wisconsin at Soldier Field. So
yeah, that was awesome. A big win for the Irish then.
Yeah, it was. I'm a big Irish guy myself. So that was awesome. And how are we going to get rid of Ben Simmons? Like, how is it going to happen? Can you give me any set of circumstances where
the only way it's going to happen is if a star caliber player on another team wants out, or the team realizes they can't win with him, they might as well go younger and take a chance on an all star caliber player if they can remold him. But I think that's going to loosen up. I think that's going to happen, and I think Maury thinks it's going to happen too. So.
Is it possible to get Russell Westbrook, and does that help the Sixers?
No.
No?
No. Yeah, there's no reason to get Russell Westbrook.
fine.
Yeah, no reason. No reason.
Okay.
All right. Oh, you sound disappointed.
I know.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. All right. Well, here's your general knowledge question because we're playing for Foo Fighters tickets.
Can you please give me an Alanis Morissette question?
We're past the Alanis Morissette category. We're in general knowledge now.
I know. I hear you.
What movie featured Mickey Mouse as the Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Fantasia.
Yes, correct. Fantasia. My daughter loved that movie.
I loved it too.
Never got it.
Never understood it.
Like as a kid,
that's weird.
Just, yeah, it's kind of out
music.
There.
Nobody.
Yeah, it's weird. But
nobody gonna talk.
No, that's what the kids like about the music and
that's what
and
I did
dancing.
Like.
And, well, of as course, a kid, I'm sure like, you're a curmudgeon. When did you see Fantasia? How old were you?
I mean, first time
like
I had to be
16.
No, the first time I saw it, I had to be like 4 or 5.
Yeah,
you saw when you were 4 or 5.
Yeah,
and
you
me
didn't
too.
Get on it VHS.
You didn't get it at 4 or 5.
I didn't like it. I want to hear some dialogue.
I thought it was neat.
I'm not telling other people not to like it. I'm saying I wanted some dialogue.
Yeah, you know, I can see that.
As a kid, like...
I can see that.
Where's
see,
the story?
I was the father, young father, watching it with her, and she loved it. So I therefore loved it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's
she's
nice.
Enjoying it. You probably had to watch it 97 times.
Yeah, well, like not Fantasia. As many times as... the number one, the go-to is The Little Mermaid.
Me too.
Yeah?
It's my favorite Disney movie of all time.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, The Little Mermaid, she could watch it.
That's the one I had the most beef with.
The Little Mermaid?
Oh, why? Yeah. I'm scared to ask why.
I've said this before. She was the heiress to the ocean.
Yeah.
She gives it all up for a dude and just becomes a wife. She's
love,
capable of more.
Tyrone.
Man, fall in love in the ocean. You're the heiress to the ocean. It's
she
the ocean
to
land.
Well, then you
she
must
relax.
Have hated one of your favorite actress movies then. Had the same premise.
Who?
Splash.
Splash.
Yeah. Didn't care for Splash.
Oh, I loved that movie.
No, didn't like Splash.
I loved it.
No. If you're going to
wait
be.
Wait a minute, let me ask you a question. Are you Tom Hanks, would you give her up because she was a mermaid?
What? No.
So you would be out. She's a mermaid. She's got a tail.
Yeah, I'm not going to
be out.
Like in this scenario, they actually exist.
Yeah.
Right, so they exist.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, and it's.
What'd she have to do to get legs, Jen? Didn't she, like, wasn't there a procedure where she could get legs?
No.
What happened?
Oh, gosh.
What was the splash premise? I thought that she, they could have gotten her legs if she was.
When she got in water, the fin came.
But when she was out of water.
When she was out of water,
it just
disappeared?
Yeah, there
was something, he put her in a bathtub or something.
They wanted to, like, keep her to research her. But I think once she just got out into the oxygen, I think her fins disappeared or her fin disappeared and legs came. I can't remember. I don't remember either. It's been a while.
I remember there was something about legs that she could have pulled it off.
But yeah.
But they wanted to keep her in that big tank.
Yeah, now you can't do that. That's inhumane. That's not right.
Yeah, it's not right.
That's not right. But in her case, you were going to be in charge of the ocean. Better get him a scuba suit and tell him to get down there in the ocean. What are you doing with going up there just to be a wife? You're capable of so much more. Don't just be a wife. I'm saying marry him in a scuba suit. He's living in the ocean with you.
You discount life on Earth.
What do you mean?
You discount it. You discount the human
Earth.
Experience.
Yeah.
That's why like you couldn't appreciate City of Angels. You couldn't appreciate the transformation he was willing to give for the woman he fell in love with.
No.
That doesn't do anything for you. You're a stone-hearted granite heart.
No, I'm not.
And didn't she become a princess? I mean, it's not like she was going to be nothing on Earth. She fell in love with the prince.
No. He had all the power. In the ocean, when her daddy was gone,
it's not a bad second place.
Power
though.
Over what? What power she had?
The ocean is what? Ocean. What do we mean?
Have power over
the
fish?
Under the sea.
Wait, like a golden ticket? You have power over fish
there's
swimming by.
There's all the mermen and stuff down there. You got a whole army.
What? We fighting down there.
What do you mean?
What? Sea urchins?
Man, when stuff goes wrong, if you had a whole ocean world, they'd
there's
be in charge.
There's nothing in the ocean.
There's stuff in the ocean.
There's plankton.
Man, in that scenario. Sebastian sings great songs, and you just giving all that up. Under the Sea. That's the best part of the movie is Sebastian.
And she lost her voice. That was what she gave up. And she was such a pretty singer.
Bored with dudes like Sebastian. Is discover a new world. Yeah, he was a curmudgeon crab.
And Ursula was the hero in that movie.
Oh my goodness, Tyrone.
She's right. Ursula's right. Ursula. She's right.
Stonehearted over there.
This is loving.
Ursula would be on it if there was a TV show Cops in the Sea. Ursula would be like she'd be on Cops.
Ursula.
That's what Ursula was.
Ursula
would
was like, this is your birthright. Live the right way.
Be smoking cigarettes on Earth. You know, long Benson and Hedges.
Ursula was the hero.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:48, Mike Mastelli Show. Again, we got Eric Carabell coming up in about 12 minutes on the show. So if you got a question, hit me up, Mike Miss at 975thefanatic.com or on Twitter, Mike Miss 25. 610-620-975 is how you get in here. So let's go to Greg and the other Greg in Lancaster. What's up, Greg? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good.
I was glad that Hembo brought up those stats with Rager.
Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Yeah, no, I should have known that. All right. So, Greg, you're on hold because I should have gone back to the phones. Because it is time for, and it's something we do every day at 3:45, and somehow I forget that we do it every day at 3:45 because I'm an idiot. It's called What's Brewing with Jen, and it, of course, is we go around the globe to find out what's going on unusually that we could comment on and go, wow, that's a really weird story. It's brought to us by Duncan. Eagle fans, it's always game on with Duncan. Rewards members, pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. It's valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Without further ado, here she is, Jen Scordo with What's Brewing with Jen.
You're all out of whack, Mike. You were off yesterday. It's General Knowledge Thursday.
I know. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I forgive you. Thank you. Asked for forgiveness. But okay, story number one. I'm assuming that this is that same snowstorm that I talked about the other day where all the pub people.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm assuming this is the same snowstorm. Forces customers and staff to sleep in an IKEA overnight. This is in northern Denmark, so it would make sense if it's that same Storm Arwen, I think it was called.
Yeah.
So a whole bunch of customers and over 24 employees got stranded by that snowstorm, spent the night in the store, but it's an IKEA. So they had all kinds of beds to sleep in. They had food. They had TVs. And again, they had a great time. They got up to a foot of snow. And it also trapped the employees and customers of a toy store, which was next door, which you could have fun with all night. You get trapped in the snow in a toy store and an IKEA.
I would enjoy that.
I would enjoy
that
it too.
I would enjoy. Plus, I can get away from people.
Yeah, you could go hide.
Not a lot of space.
IKEAs are big.
That's what I'm saying. I love that scenario. Is much better for me personally than the bar.
Than the bar.
So
yeah.
you can lay on the Ektorf sofa and the right next to the Dockstra table and the Kallax shelving units to put your books.
And you don't have to put any of them together because they have the
Poang armchair you can relax in.
There you go. Yes. You must have a lot of IKEA stuff in your
house. Back in the day when you're poor, I bought a desk. I remember an IKEA desk.
Oh, yeah. I've had IKEA stuff too.
With the Allen wrenches up the wazoo. I will never use another Allen wrench ever because of that store.
I'm with you. Okay. Do you like cilantro, Mike?
I love cilantro.
Tyrone?
It gives a fresh little taste.
It adds a little freshness, like you said.
All right. So you're not part of that 4 to 14% of the population that thinks it tastes like soap. I'm not either. Well, you've heard that. You don't know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't know about that.
It's
not perfect.
It has an unusual taste.
Yeah,
though,
but not soap.
Yeah, all right, there is a large population of the human race that when they eat cilantro, it tastes like soap to them.
Really?
You've never heard that before?
No, I never have. It is... A peculiar taste, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, Chipotle is jumping on that, and they're actually selling cilantro soap. You can get it for anyone that maybe loves cilantro in your life, or maybe
hates
it. It's
not a bad idea. I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, because we have rosemary soap.
Oh, sure, yeah. I have all
we have all their, other herbs.
So, you know, Chipotle getting in on the marketing of it. They also started, which I think is really cool, something called Chipotle Goods Avocado Dye Line. So they're making merchandise, like clothing, but it's dyed using avocado pits. And it's upcycled, and it's all good for the environment. Huh, really cool.
I like
so,
it.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think that was
so you can get the burrito bowl, and then you get to grab a soap one that you like to have it at the register.
And then go get a hoodie or something that was dyed with avocados. Yeah, and you can also get a cilantro lover badge through December 8th. If you really love cilantro, you can get a badge that you put on your app saying that you love cilantro, and they're going to get you your food faster when you go order it.
Here's the problem with cilantro as it is with parsley. You can't possibly use all that's in the bunch. And then it just wilts and it starts to stink.
You can't freeze it.
No, you can't freeze it.
Well, yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah, you can't freeze it.
It changes.
So, yeah, it's a waste.
You don't just put it in like a glass with water? Like I use some and then I put it in a glass with water?
You'll preserve it for a little while.
Yeah, it doesn't last forever.
You can't possibly use, like, I don't understand what these big bunches when it comes to parsley and cilantro. There should be little bunches. I don't get it.
You know what you need, Mike? You need an arrow garden. I have an arrow garden where you just go snip it off, whatever you need, and then you use it, and then it still continues to grow.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's good. Well, you have your grow light. It's the same principle.
Yeah, but it doesn't fix the problem of the grocery store over bunching.
No, it does not. All right. And the last story, Mike, this is for you. It's all about Law and Order, which I still haven't seen.
Okay.
So Mariska Hargitay, is that how you say her name?
Mariska.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. She confronted a singer who kept interrupting a Law and Order filming. So they were in New York in Washington Park, I believe it was, and they're trying to film a scene, and there was people are standing around watching the whole scene happen, and there was a guy that just kept singing. Every time they would say action, he would start belting out some song, and other production assistants went over to talk to him, and he just kept on singing. So finally, she went up to him, Hargitay did, and said, "We love your singing. It's been beautiful, but could you not sing while..." As soon as they say action, just stop singing, and then you can start right back up again when they stop. And he said, okay, yeah, I guess that's all right. And then they started laughing and joking together. She took some photos with him, and they became friends,
I read that story. That's interesting. She's supposed to be a nice person.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what everybody
says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jane Mansfield's daughter. Jane Mansfield's daughter.
Is she really?
Yes.
I need to
She got
learn
the
more
scar on her face from the accident that killed her mother.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yep. That's like a well-known thing for a while.
Jane Mansfield's her mother?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Her father was the famous guy.
Her father was like a bodybuilder
or something.
Yeah.
It was a Tarzan movie.
Yeah, because he was a bodybuilder.
Right.
That's how he got cast there. Yeah, but she got scarred in the accident that killed her mother.
How about that?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I was in Washington Square Park yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when they were filming, but...
Well, I gotta tell you, that's a very weird spot.
Is it? Because, I haven't been in a long time.
I'll tell you a little later in the show. But there were, like, vendors outwardly selling pot products.
It's
legal there.
Decriminalized up there.
Well, no, recreational is legal.
Legal, yeah.
In New York, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, my parents came to town. We went to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. I mean, you get off the train, and you can smell it.
When I said to the guy, I go, "Well, aren't you worried about getting pissed?" He goes, "No, because I know the park people. They tip me off if the cops are coming around."
He might not have a license to sell it, be some other.
And he might be over the quantity, but you can smoke on the street.
Recreational marijuana is legal in New York State.
Wow.
Yeah. See? There you go. Lots of knowledge. We just threw a lot of knowledge at each other.
Well, then what I bought wasn't illegal.
Bringing it back to state line, baby.
All right. That was What's Brewing with Jen. And that was brought to us by Dunkin'. Hey, Eagles fans, it's always game on with Duncan. Rewards your members. Pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Coming up, Eric Carabel with some fantasy football advice. Questions from you. That's next.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop grid, jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. Among the many things we have going on today is a Ranking the Thursday feature where our hero, Eric Carabel, tries to rescue people from the clutches of a bad fantasy season. And I'm telling you, this could be a record for questions for Eric Carabel today. Jen, he is brought to us by
Family & Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, visit Family & Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Hello, Eric Carabel. How are we doing today?
We are great, Mike. How are you? I'm here to help.
Well, I'll tell you something. People are really coming out with the questions today. So buckle your seatbelt. First of all, I just want to ask you about the status of the Eagles. And would you, I know you like Hurts pretty much every week. Do you like him with a bad ankle in this spot?
Yeah, I think he's still a top 10 quarterback for this week. I mean, on running ability alone, he's not a good passer. We saw that on Sunday. But you want to play Eagles running back Miles Sanders, of course. The Jets are just terrible against running backs. The problem here is the Eagles will probably go with three running backs, so Sanders isn't getting 20 touches. But Miles Sanders is a very good play, and in a deep league, you can make a case for the other two running backs, Boston Scott and Jordan Howard.
Hmm, very interesting. Is Goddard a major play for you this week, since he really last week was just invisible? I got to think they're going to make an effort to get the ball to him in this game.
No, I don't think they are going to make an effort. In fact, this coaching staff is going to do the exact opposite of what you think they should do. I don't think Devonta Smith or Goddard are great plays at all because their quarterback is so inaccurate right now. And honestly, the Jets are so easy to run on. I don't know why the Eagles wouldn't run 40 times and just run out the clock that way. I really expect that's what they're going to do. Jets are not a threat to score. The only way the Eagles can lose is if they throw the ball. So why would they do that? They have to know that.
All right, let's get to these questions. We'll start off with the one from tonight's game. James wants to know, should he start Ingram tonight and with no Kamara or Cordarrelle Patterson against the stout run defense of Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, Ingram is on New Orleans. He's facing Dallas tonight. And I'll say Patterson against Tampa Bay is still a decent play because he catches passes. So I would still take Patterson over Ingram because I don't think Ingram's going to catch a lot of passes. And I think Taysom Hill is going to be his own goal line back, too, as the quarterback for them. So I would play Patterson over Ingram.
All right. The question here needs two of three wide receivers of Darnell Mooney, Devontae Smith, or CeeDee Lamb.
It's not our guy. I mean, you can't play Devontae Smith. You would normally think that when a wide receiver complained, a diva wide receiver, the next week they threw him the ball. Happened all the time with Moss and T.O. It's not going to happen this week. I mean, maybe Devonta gets a touchdown, but he's not getting 10 targets. You play the other two guys.
All right, so that question then, Mike Williams or Devontae Smith, you're going to go Mike Williams.
I am. I have okay. to. I don't like it, but I have to.
All right, that was Omar's question. Jose wants to know, it's a half PPR league, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
I do not rank Wilson well at all. He's a terrible three consecutive weeks, but that said, you can't sit him for Justin Fields. I mean, you can sit him for Carson Wentz. I can go through 15 quarterbacks that I would sit Russell Wilson for, Derek Carr, Wentz, Tyler Heineke, but not Justin Fields.
All right, Parrothead Bob wants to know, should he start Mahomes or Derek Carr?
You can make the case, but I won't. I'll still go with Mahomes coming off a bye. You have to assume that these interceptions are going to stop for Mahomes.
All right, defensive question. Miami defense against the Giants or Minnesota against the Lions?
We've got Miami rated higher and kind of by a lot. So I would go with Miami. I mean,
The Giants, with Mike Glennon a quarterback, or Daniel Jones, it doesn't matter. I take Miami.
All right, Jeremy, I have Kamara and Swift out. I have Fournette as my RB1 right now. Should Jamal Williams or David Montgomery be my RB2?
I think it's Jamal Williams. Montgomery looks hurt to me. They're not. Their offense is a mess. Every Chicago offensive player is a mess right now, kind of except Mooney. But I would play Montgomery, but not over Jamal Williams.
All right, Wayne needs a tight end and a flex. He wants to know Gronk or Kittle or Hollywood Brown.
I would play Kittle over Gronk, and I would play Hollywood over Gronk as well.
All right. Debo is out. This is spin, sprint, and sweat. Debo is out, so who do I use for my flex? Hunter Renfrow, Elijah Moore, Devontae Freeman?
I'd probably go the two wide receivers there. I mean, Devontae looks like the guy for Baltimore in the backfield, but they do have other options. And again, Lamar Jackson runs the ball a lot.
All right, Steve needs two or three non-PPR. Thielen, Chase, or Waddle?
Whoa, all three are really good options this week. Thielen has to play. So if it comes down to Chase versus Waddle here, and Waddle's playing better right now. He's getting a lot more yards. Chase doesn't have 50 yards in, I think, four or five consecutive games. So I would actually stick to Jamar Chase.
All right, Jason wants to know, Hurts or Carr?
Hurts is in my top 10. For the running alone, not a good passer, but, I mean, okay. I can't put Derek Carr in the top 10.
All right, Marius, Big Ben or Tua? Oh, my God. Or just hope for the waiver wire?
Doesn't sound like that's a playoff team there for fantasy. I don't know how you can use Big Ben or Matt Ryan, these old veteran guys right now. So I would actually go Tua. Tua's been very accurate of late, and it is a good matchup.
All right. Paul needs a flex, 1 point PPR. Ingram for the Saints or Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Kansas City?
I would go with Clyde there. I don't trust Ingram to get a touchdown or catch passes, so it's a little bit of a risk there on volume.
All right, Dak Prescott tonight, Carson Wentz or Hurts?
Well, I'll say this. Dak is in my top 10. He's actually one spot ahead of Jalen Hurts for this week alone because I just don't think the Eagles are going to throw that much, and they shouldn't, so I would go Dak.
All right, Standard League, Taysom Hill or Kyler Murray?
I think if Murray is active, you have to go with him over Hill. By the way, Hill hasn't played either. Murray's been off for months, and Hill's been off for the entire season.
Aaron needs to start two of three, one running back and one flex between Fournette, Mitchell, and Godwin.
Ooh. Well, Fournette's the top 10 guy. You got to use him. And I think Mitchell's next on that list. Again, any running back is getting 100 rushing yards a week like these guys are. You got to go with them first.
All right, here's a guy who wants to know. It's a violation to tank in fantasy football.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I mean, there's a way to tank properly for the draft pick, okay, if you want to do it that way. But you have to play an active lineup. Everybody has to be off their buys and healthy. You can't be playing Kamara when you know he's out. Play a lineup, and if you lose and tank, fine.
All right, Jalen Hurts and Taysom Hill.
It still hurts. I have Hill in the periphery of the top 10 there.
All right, Kyle, Hunter Renfrow or Jacoby Myers?
I mean, Renfrow gets in the end zone. Myers has only done it once in his entire career.
All right, we have a couple questions here and the people around here. Boston Scott or Pollard tonight?
I think it's Pollard. I mean, we know Ezekiel Elliott's not getting more than like 10 touches. I think Pollard's the better play.
Okay. Also, Miles Sanders or Cordero Patterson?
Patterson. Eagles share, Falcons don't.
All right, Jen Scordo with her weekly question for Eric Carabao. What do you got, Jen?
Well, sorry about McCaffrey.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So I had to pick up a running back. Well, my question was going to be Goddard or Ertz, but I guess you answered that already. So I picked up Tevin Coleman. I don't want to play him, but I have Sanders. So I guess you're saying Sanders
should play. Kevin, but if you watch Sanders play, it's either an injury or a fumble or something silly. I still think it's Sanders over Tevin, and it is Ertz over Goddard, yes.
All right, thanks.
All right, couple running back questions before we close it out here. David Montgomery or Elijah Mitchell, Kevin wants to know.
Mitchell.
You go Mitchell on that one? Okay. And I think my thing reset. I think we're good.
Ran out of questions?
Yeah, I think we're good. I apologize to the people I didn't get in, but this was a fast-moving segment. We appreciate it. I'm going to ask you for your prediction, and I'm thinking you're going to go Eagles big.
Yeah, this is like 21-7. They ought to run the ball easily in this one. The Washington game's a tough one, but Eagles win this one easily.
All right, Eric, always a pleasure. The fastest 10 minutes in the Sports Talk Radio.
You got it. Good luck, everybody.
All right, there he is, Eric Carabel. Jen, brought to us by
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, visit Family and Company Jewelers for that. And fantasy engagement ring, Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All right, it is General Knowledge Thursday. I know people are throwing them off. I missed yesterday, and Ty was gracious enough to move on the General Knowledge to today because I enjoy it. And the prize is beautiful. The prize, two listeners who get a question correct. Now, Ty, how many do we have here?
Four.
We have four so far.
Mm-hmm.
So two. Yeah, we have plenty of show left. Mm-hmm. But two listeners who get a question correctly, we picked at random at the end of the show, win a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters. July 24th, the big concert just announced in Lincoln Financial Field. July 24th this summer. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. And, of course, General Knowledge is presented by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate, reliable, high-tech measurement tools in their toolbox. We got calls. Matt Breen coming up at 4:45. Your calls now at 610-632-0975.
Mike, there's an NFL note now from the Bucks from the Antonio Brown thing.
Uh-huh.
Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards, and then a free agent, John Franklin III, that was with the Bucks, who was then released, suspended three games for their COVID violations.
Oh.
So that says that apparently that fake card story from the chef that he didn't pay.
Correct.
Turns out it was correct with multiple players on the Bucks. So there you have it. So good thing is
depleted.
Yeah, Antonio Brown had been in and out of the lineup, but now I think Edwards is a safety for them. I think it's a lot of playing time. He's out. So
Buccaneers are 11-point favorites in Atlanta.
I mean,
believe it or not,
Falcons. It may not matter a bit, but there you
Falcons
go.
Falcons still in a playoff hunt. That's the stinkiest ass team in a playoff hunt that I've ever seen.
Well, that's what happens when you add the seventh team. If there were six teams, the Eagles, them, a bunch of teams wouldn't be in the mix. They're in the mix because they added that seventh team that's not very good. So that's
all right. Let's get back to Greg. Greg, thanks for holding. Sorry we had to, put you on hold.
All right. Hey, no problem. I'll defer my time to Jen anytime.
Awesome. Right. Thank you.
I'm glad that Hembo brought up those Jalen Reagor stats because that's what I've been saying for a while. You're trying to evaluate whether or not your quarterback can play, but he has a guy on the field that clearly can't play. And like the other teams know that. So, the question is, so why are you targeting him so much? The other teams know that. He's not being covered like Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are. And so, like, that's why he goes to him, and he can't play.
Yeah, I get it. It's a dilemma. But like I say, if I'm Jalen Hurts, I go, okay, yeah, I know they're paying special attention to my two guys. They're my key guys. I'm going to trust them. I'm going to trust myself maybe to get the ball to them. Yeah, you can't just turn off to them.
Well... I mean, what I'm saying is, like, they're trying to judge. I mean, this is.
I get it, but listen, get rid of the ball quicker, then. Devontae Smith can get open anytime he wants. Normally, Goddard can. Get the ball to him.
Well, I'm just saying, people question why he targets him.
We talked about that. Obviously, if you're going through progressions and you see a guy open,
crying out loud.
Yeah, but see again, it's the analogy where you go, if you're an NBA guard and you pass the ball foolishly to a guy who can't score or can't catch it, that's your fault.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a game where there's five guys on the floor like this.
No, I get it, but it's the same principle.
Wow.
You got to go, my 1A and 1A had to be in my head at all times. And then later on, I might be able to get in a desperate situation.
All I'm saying is the Eagles might make a mistake because they have a guy on the field that clearly can't play.
And he's telling you, the coach, I don't got anybody else. I don't have anybody else. What do you want me to do? What do you want from me? Yeah?
All right.
General knowledge for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where were we here? I mean, we haven't done a general knowledge question in a really long time, dude. All right, we're on the NBA top scorers.
Oh, you're killing me.
NBA top scoring duos. All right, now, in 2019, The Rockets had three guys that met this category of scoring over 50 points a game. One of them, obviously, was James Harden.
Yeah.
What? Give me one of the three other guys that teamed with James Harden to average over 50 points.
On the Rockets? Yeah, this is. I was afraid I was going to get this. I have no shot.
One guy I'm asking you for.
I'm not.
One guy, 2019, who played for the Rockets?
How about Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie Irving never played for the Rockets. It's embarrassing. Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and believe it or not, Clint Capella. Because Harden was averaging 35.
Right. And he was getting Capella, because Capella has no game, but if he plays with a good guard, he catches alley-oops.
He was getting him 15, I guess, a game. So, they, like, the other guys here are 20. You know, they were, So, all three guys made it.
Yeah, that made that. Yeah, that all makes sense. And then they got rid of Capella because they recognized he had no game.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who will catch an alley-oop. Yeah. And so that's what he does.
Harden looked good the other night.
He's looking better.
Yeah.
Well, he got in shape.
Yeah, he did.
And the other part was he had torn that hamstring, not just pulled it. He tore it twice. I don't think he was healthy early, and now he's healthy.
Yeah. All right. 610-622-0975. Good time to get in. Mike in media. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike. Hello, Mike.
Michael.
Go ahead, buddy.
The crew, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I had told the guy who answered the phone I was going to talk Sixers, but I did have a question. The reliever that the Phillies picked up, I have no knowledge of him. I mean,
Neville. He was successful. He's a Tommy John guy, and so last year he didn't pitch a lot. He didn't pitch very well for Milwaukee, but they like his stuff, and if he's fully healed, they think he could be a closer. I actually think they're taking a shot in the dark. I think he's more of an eighth inning guy. It's another guy that has a decent arm. He's a 94-95 guy. But I don't know if he's a closer. But they just have to, like, they have to come up with a better bullpen. So they're adding pieces.
Right. I had heard on an earlier show that maybe he was a 96-98.
No, he's not that.
Okay. And I had one more question. Mm-hmm. If the Flyers coach, they're on a spiral, 7 in a row. If he went down, I mean, is there a viable candidate out there? Would it be someone from the organization, or are there
in hockey? In hockey, there's always a viable candidate.
Okay,
really, they fall off trees, hockey coaches.
Okay.
you never know what how effective they're going to be, but there's a ton of them you could choose from.
Right. They remind.
It's just, you know, players. What it is in hockey. It's just the change. The change. The guy doesn't have to be like Scotty Bowman,
right?
But the change is supposed to interject energy, a different way of doing things, a different strategy on the power play. Like that. That's what will energize the team.
Right. I got you. Okay.
All right. All right. The U.S. presidential trivia.
Okay.
Who was the president that made Thanksgiving an official holiday?
Oh, God. You got to be going back.
I frankly did not know this.
Got to be going back a ways. Franklin Delano?
You got to go back further than that. It was Abraham Lincoln that made Thanksgiving an official holiday. I never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
Learn something every day. Old Abe.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. I wonder what made him make Thanksgiving an official holiday.
You know, when we did general knowledge last Wednesday, when you were off, Mike, that was one of my questions.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had the answer to that. I'll see if I can find
it. Why Thanksgiving was made an official holiday?
Well, one of the questions I had that I didn't end up using was which president officially made it a holiday. But I feel like there was a paragraph underneath it that I read about why he did it.
Really?
I'll see if I can find it.
All right. 610-632-0975. Again, we got calls until we get to Matt Breen, who's going to talk about the baseball lockout. And then a whole 5 o'clock hour worth of questions on General Knowledge Thursday today. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Twitter poll update time. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by the same sponsor, but a little new website. So it's powered by Moyer.com. You're still talking about Paul B. Moyer. The powered by Moyer.com is how you get to them, and they bring us the Twitter poll update with Jen Scordo. Jen.
All right. With the Sixers struggling so much offensively, should they move Ben Simmons right now? 44% now are saying yes, just get it done. 56% say no, get the best deal. And hockey coaches have a short shelf life. Is Flyers coach Alain Vigneault in danger of losing his job? 81% say yes, which means 19% say no.
Mike Keenan's still out there.
What?
Is Mike Keenan... Is he still coaching?
Well, I don't know. That's what you want to bring back?
Well,
30 years later?
Maybe he gives a shock.
Yeah, I'm out.
He's the shock in the pool.
Mm-mm.
Yeah?
No.
You're out?
Yeah, I'm out. I don't want a guy from 30 years ago. He's 72 years old.
He is?
Yeah.
He is 72?
That, 40, yeah, 49,
that,
yeah.
It makes sense. If he was coaching
I'm sorry. I didn't know he was that old. Because he was a very young coach here.
Yes and no.
Yeah, well, that years have gotten away from me.
Yeah, because he coached here in the 80s.
Good Lord.
55.
Time flies.
84 to 88, it looks like.
So he was 30. Yeah, he hasn't coached in the NHL since 2009.
Okay.
But... 59, 69, 79. So he was 30-something then.
Huh. All right.
And it's been 35 years.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. We go Vic in Lancaster. Vic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vic.
Hey, Mike. Long-time listener.
What's up, Vic? How you doing?
Good. You're probably going to scratch your head thinking, this guy's listened this long and he's going to call in on something like this. But, yeah, you got to humor me. What's with this cutesy-tootsy high school coach, you know, not giving us information on Brandon Brooks? Like, you know, what is he with these artful Dodger answers?
Well, what do you mean information? He's not ready to play yet. He's hurt. And he's supposed to come back after the bye. That's what they said about him.
He was supposed to come back 2 weeks ago, if my information is correct.
Your information is wrong.
All right. I think they've walked away from the guy, and I think it's because they think they're out of it right now. I think the puppet master is going to move on from somebody that, you know, PFF has.
Well, what would be the point of moving on if he could play? He would be able to help you if he could play. He had a ruptured pectoral.
Plans for next year.
What's that? But that doesn't mean he can't play this year.
Well, I think that they were going to play him if they thought they were in it. And now they want to just evaluate younger talent.
No, they're not. They're still in it trying to make the playoffs.
Oh, come on. This guy runs a high school offense.
You don't actually think that they're not trying to make the playoffs. They may have lost to the Giants. That doesn't mean they're not trying to make the playoffs.
You wait and see. I think we're going to see a lot of questionable calls by Howie Roseman.
Come
in
on,
the next
baby. You actually think that they are going to tank a season?
We saw him do it against the Giants.
Come on, Vic. That was one game.
Oh, so now they won't do it again, right?
That's one game. We're talking about one game. It's the last game of the season. We're talking about they're in the middle of a playoff run with a bunch of mediocre teams trying to make the playoffs. Why not try to make it?
Listen, this team's going nowhere with this head coach and that quarterback.
Well, you're just a miserable. You're just a miserable. That doesn't mean that you're right, and doesn't mean they're not trying to still make the playoffs. They're not going to tank the rest of the season.
It doesn't mean that I'm not right.
Dude, they're 5-6. They're right. If they go 4-1 the rest of the year, they're in the playoffs. You don't think they're trying to do that?
I don't think that record gets you into the playoffs. I think they had to win this game.
They're 5-7. If they go 4-1, that's 9 wins. They're in the playoffs.
Against what? Who are they going to?
What does it matter who? The idea is to get into the playoffs. They're not going to lose games on purpose.
All right.
Come on. That's silliness. Let's go to 6 in Trenton. 6, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. 6.
Hey.
Go ahead, buddy. You're on.
The last caller definitely already got my, took my idea. I already got my answer from the last caller, but I talk about the Sixers, though. Are you guys worried about the Sixers stay right now?
What were you going to ask about the Eagles?
Oh, I was going to ask, do you think what would be better if we lose or if we try to fight against the playoffs?
Well, why do you think it would be better if they lost?
Drive position.
Then how are you going to lose? In the NFL, how do you lose? On purpose.
I don't know. People tank. Tanking is real.
Where? How do you tank in the NFL? I'm asking you a question. How would you tank? You're fighting for your life out there. You can get injured. How do you tank during a game? You think players are going to be into with the plan? They're not going to play their best because they want to lose?
Hey, if the price is right, they probably will.
What do you mean the price is right? Come on, bro. Come on, 6.
See, that's why
I'm... You calls it now, yeah.
I'm glad you asked him that question, because what he wanted to talk about. How's this back again? Where did this come from?
I don't know. It's silly, and that's why I'm not entertaining it. Joe in State College. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Joe?
I don't know if you remember, but I called in right before week one at Atlanta, and I talked about how I believe that Gardner Minshew could take over this team. This week it was talked about as a possibility, him coming in and playing. And so I want to hear, do you think that Hurts' job is on the line?
No.
No?
His job is on the line as a starting quarterback for the future, but not for this year.
Yeah, but okay.
You're not going to play Gardner Minshew. What would be the point of that?
Well, if Hurts keeps playing how he has been.
He had his worst game last week. That doesn't mean you pull him. You got to find out if he can sustain the rest of the year. You have to find out about whether you think you can trust him to be your quarterback next year. You can't pull him.
Yeah, I agree
with
that to an extent, but with the history of this team, I mean, they did the same thing to Wentz last year. Like, who's saying that they won't do it to Hurts this year?
What to Hurts? What are they going to do?
Pull him out and put the backup in.
Yeah, but why would they do that? What would be the reason to do that?
To make the playoffs.
You think Gardner Minshew, you put him in, you have a better chance to make the playoffs?
I do. I think that he has a much better passing game than Hurts. And yeah, Hurts is good at doing the quarterback draw.
When's the last time you saw Gardner Minshew play a football game?
What?
When's the last time you saw Gardner Minshew play a football game? And what makes you think that he is so good?
Was it last year or 2 years ago in Jacksonville? He played pretty well.
Two years ago. He since lost his job and had to be signed as a third stringer.
Yeah, but now he's the backup.
He went 2-7 last year when he played.
Yeah, but I don't know. Quarterbacks can always bounce back.
Yeah, I think you're overvaluing Gardner Minshew. What has happened? What is happening?
And Jalen Hurts had one bad game. Can't he bounce back?
What is happening?
I don't know.
3 straight calls.
Well, it was actually 1-6, but what has happened is
Gardner Minshew now. How's he pop up? How's tanking pop up? Where's this fall out of the sky?
Well, I know how the Minshew happened. Once people heard about that ankle injury, they were looking to, there were people already with the fake mustaches and stuff ready to do the Minshew thing. So I think now they're, I'm serious, they were already out there thinking about the Minshew stuff.
Let's be clear. There's no reason to like him. All right, he hasn't done anything lately to make you say, "Boy, he should be the quarterback." That's A. B is you're trying to find. You need to make a decision on a quarterback for next year. You got to find out if the guy you chose as the starter can handle it for the rest of the year. If not, you can't go to Gardner Minshew anyway. You got to go into a completely different direction. So there's absolutely no reason to play Gardner Minshew.
Right.
All right. I was going to, you know, that's one guy probably would have known the Atlantis question. And I should have like, asked him. So I apologize. But we're on that category.
Oh, boy.
So we'll see who next can get it wrong. The Atlantis Marseille question. Take a break. Matt Breen is coming up, though, at 4:45. We'll talk about the baseball lockout and what the Phillies do from this point on with the free agents. Do they risk going back channel? Because if they find out about it, they'll take some draft picks away. Mike Mussinelli Show continues.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 4:45 on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. There is a baseball issue out there that kind of, you know, it kind of came like suddenly for most people. We weren't anticipating it. And all of a sudden, boom, there's a lockout in Major League Baseball. So for the lowdown on that and where they go from here and where the Phillies go from here, let's get the man who covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Matt Breen joins us. Hello, Matt.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Well, Matt, this is a very interesting little situation here. Now, with Manfred, it's like this is proactive, and he's claiming it's a way, you know, and representing the owners to get people to the table before, you know, like the breakneck point comes where you have to miss games. So, tell me, is that feasible? That, like, because it almost looks to me like it, in theory it's one thing, but in practicality, one of the weapons the players have is to miss games. So why would they flock to the table now?
Yeah, I think it was kind of hard to tell until last night. And then once the commissioner put out his letter and MLBPA fired back with a statement, the language of both of those documents just seemed really like ugly and angry. And I think you could kind of tell that this trust in both of these parties have for each other. And to me, I would not be surprised if this, I don't know about games, but if this at least bleeds into spring training at this point. I just think both sides are so far apart. And yeah, the CBA expired, so you kind of knew once that was going to happen that they were going to have a lockout.
Yeah, but they also could have not had a lockout and just worked under the old guidelines of the CBA while they were negotiating. But they chose not to do that. So they are digging their heels into the sand here. Let's sort out the issues. The players go, okay, your revenue's up. The owners have gone, I don't like this financial disparity where the luxury tax is not deterring the rich teams from spending whatever they want, and that's creating a competitive imbalance. So, how do you see these issues?
Yeah, the luxury tax, first of all, is like, it might as well be called a salary cap because, you know, very few teams surpass it every year. The Phillies, for example, have never surpassed it, and they're one of the teams that kind of view it as a hard cap. That, you know, that's the number. We're not going to bypass that number. So it's a kind of like a bogus term, the luxury tax, because it really is. It might as well be, like I said, it might as well be a salary cap. And you see the average salary, like, yeah, Max Scherzer is making, you know, mm-hmm. at a record average annual value. And Bryce Harper, we can talk about how much money he's making, but the average salary has declined while the revenue, like you said, is a record. Every year it's a new record. So this isn't
about Max Scherzer or Bryce Harper. You know, it's about the guys really at the bottom or the guys in the middle that aren't making what they're worth. And it, you can't, we can't relate to these people. Like, you know, obviously they make way more than we do and they're millionaires. I know, I get it, playing a game, but it is a business and the business makes billions of dollars and it just is a disparity. I think you can't ignore that, you know, where the players stand. It's definitely not fair.
Yeah, the star player's always going to get their money, and you're right. So the union represents everybody. The union can't possibly agree to other union members that aren't the star players getting less money.
Yeah,
right?
And I thought...
Where is there room for negotiation here? Because the players would have to do that in this situation.
Well, no, it's just that the owners need to spend more money. It's not about... Like, you can pay Max Scherzer, you know, the record AAV. You can pay Bryce Harper, but they're just teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates who, you know, do not field a competitive roster, and they refuse to not even exceed the luxury tax. They refuse to even get close to it. You know, that's where the problem is, that there is this, and they're still turning a profit because the league is so profitable. So that's where the problem is, that there's, when the players talk about, you know, almost half the league is actively trying to not compete while the other half is, it's a loss of jobs because you're not going to go out and sign high priced veterans or even mid tier players. So you're going to field your roster with controllable young players that are a lot cheaper. And that's where the game has went in the last, you know, 10 years. And, you know, I quite frankly, I think that's why the game has not has been as entertaining, is because there's so many teams that are actively trying to, you know, not necessarily lose, but not trying to be competitive.
So what would satisfy the players?
First, probably they eliminate, if they could have their way, I'm sure they would eliminate the competitive balance tax completely, but that's not going to happen. So they want to get that raised up, higher revenue sharing between the players. Just, they want more money. And I think that's fair. They're in a place where they shouldn't be making less money than they were making a decade ago, or, you know, 5 years ago, when the league is making more money. It just, that to me, that doesn't make sense.
But if they raise that figure, that luxury tax figure, would that not just benefit the rich teams?
Well, you could raise the floor. So you like the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Oakland A's, for example, this year are going to have like a record low payroll. Mm-hmm. You could say that's not allowed. You have to meet a threshold.
You have to spend maybe $100 million or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, $100 million is nothing. Like, you have to spend $180 million, something like that. So you have to field, like, there's not a limit. So there's no, you know, you're not scaring teams away from spending this much, but there has to be some type of floor where all 30 teams are competitive because they're paying to be competitive.
Right, and that would prevent the owners that get the smaller markets that get money through revenue sharing, that would prevent them from just hoarding that money and putting it in their pocket. They would have to spend it, which they don't do now.
And that's the, in like a perfect world, that's what the competitive balance tax is supposed to be, that the Yankees are going to get charged and they're going to give the money back to the Royals and the Royals are going to spend it. And it hasn't worked out that way for the most part.
All right. Let me ask you this now, practicality, because everything's supposed to be shut down. Agents aren't talking to GMs, can't negotiate. There's free agents that are lingering out there and a couple big ones that would benefit the Phillies. In a situation like this, is there a chance of backdoor dealing?
I would say that, probably not with agents, because that's where you're going to get caught. You know, if the Phillies are trying to negotiate with Kyle Schwarber's agent today, and, you know, that's where you could get run into a violation. But if Dave Dombrowski, you know, shoots off a text message to, the Detroit Tigers about a trade or something like that, or talks to the Rays about Kevin Kiermaier or something, like, I think that's where I would not be surprised if you see that kind of stuff. Like, we see the legal tampering in the other sports. I think you might hear about that, but that's how are you going to prove that? Where I think talking to an agent about a player is probably where you're going to run into trouble, and that's something that you might have to avoid until this.
Okay, so GMs on the sly can talk to each other and do that kind of thing. Okay, I got it. If, as far as the trade goes, but as far as signing free agents, they would not be able to do that.
And they obviously they can't make a trade. Like they can't. Yeah. So but we'll find out if the CBA is finalized February 1st, mm-hmm. and then February 2nd, there's 15 trades announced. Like, all right, well, you know, these guys, you know, they really were keeping on the down low the whole time.
What's your assessment of what the Phillies have done with the signings of Camargo and Knebel?
Corey Knebel is a guy that, to me, that's a good signing. The other one is just, you know, Ronald Torres 2.0. It's a, you know, a bench option, versatile guy. But Knebel can close games. He can at least keep pitching the back end of the bullpen. Really nasty stuff last year when he was healthy. And I think that's fine. 1 year, $10 million. You can't sign a bad 1 year contract because there's no commitment.
Yeah.
And if he's really good, then you got a bargain. If not, then, you know, it's a 1 year deal. So I think that's a good start. But I mean, they need a lot more, and they're going to be one of the busier teams once this thing gets taken care of.
Yeah. What was they obviously were not interested in Marte at that price.
Yeah. I think the price in the years too. And that's where I was. When you see the long-term contract and the age is already getting up there, I think that's probably what kind of scares you off a little bit. But you know, the Mets have, you know, we're one of the teams that we're spending and we're really going hard after it. So I guess, you know, they weren't afraid of that. But I don't knock the Phillies for being out of that market.
All right. Sounds good. Matt, always good to touch base with you in the off season. We'll talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks, Mike. Take care.
Matt Breen, covering the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And the people that go, like, some free agents want to go to good places. That was belied by the fact that Baez decides to go to the Detroit Tigers. See, when you got cash, people go.
It's the money. It's always the money.
Right, Baez. Like, I'm sure he wanted to go to the Garden Spot in Detroit to that bad franchise.
Right, and the Rangers stink, and look at the money they throw around. Money, everybody taking the money.
They pay
somebody else. Like, they stink. You know what?
Yeah.
And it's 1,000 degrees at that place.
Nobody's want to come here. Yeah. Money. Brings people.
It's like 110 during games.
Yeah.
The guys don't like it, but you know what they do? They take the money.
Yeah, they do. 5 o'clock hours ahead. All calls now, so we do a little general knowledge of the death here on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. Up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GUIDA.com. You know, we still have to give away flyers, suite tickets with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to do it today because we had so many things going in today. But if you are interested in attending a Flyers game on December 21st versus the Washington Caps in a luxury suite with the Mike Missinelli Show, just tell us why you think you deserve to sit in that suite with us. And we have one pair of suite tickets to give away each day. So we'll do that in this 5 o'clock hour. On General Knowledge, Wednesday, which has been pushed over to Thursday, is presented by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs. And two listeners who get a question correct will win a pair of tickets to see the Foo Fighters July 24, 2022 at Lincoln Financial Field. The tickets go on sale tomorrow, Ticketmaster.com at 10 a.m. You know, I had a dream last night that Ben Simmons played for the Sixers.
Uh-uh.
He was playing. He was in the dream of the Sixers game.
Was it a nightmare that you woke up from?
No, he was in the flow and made a couple good plays, got loose for a dunk.
Yeah, that's the stuff he can do.
He didn't shoot in the dream. He was on the floor, though, and it was astonishing. Like, all of a sudden, he was back.
Well,
did he get booed?
That was my dream. My dream did not include a boo.
Okay.
It was silent.
Hmm.
It wasn't. Well, there was no crowd. It was just him, and he was playing.
Well,
so I don't even know what that means.
Man, who knows? Right. He might. Maybe he comes back. They're still going to lose in the second round of the playoffs unless he comes back different.
Yeah.
But in the regular season, you'll be better.
Yeah. Brian in Upper Darby, first call to 5 o'clock hour. Hey, Bri.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, man?
Are you talking about what I was just going to mention?
Bro, your phone sounds a little grinchy here. You got to clear it up. Are you on speaker? Take it off speaker there.
All right, let me take you off speaker.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, how's that now?
You better, go ahead.
All right, well, that's what I was saying. I just seen a video floating on the internet of Ben Simmons on a private practice in the Wells Fargo Center.
Uh-huh.
Now, I wanted to know what you guys think of.
Oh, it's from last week, huh? Yeah, it's from last week.
Oh, that's from last week?
Yeah.
So what's the percentage of y'all think he's coming back, seeing how he's hemorrhaging money right now?
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
You don't think so?
No, I think they will trade him eventually, but I don't think he's coming back for the Sixers.
Even the way he's losing money and the way they're talking about him?
Yeah, he's not coming back. I don't think they want him to come back. He doesn't want to come back. I think they're just posturing for a trade at this point.
And another thing, I think if the Eagles make it to 9-7, we could definitely make the playoffs. So I don't think we should tank. I think we should.
Would
just
be 9-8.
Yeah, we should. Yeah,
9-7.
9-8. Yeah, we should make the playoffs. I don't think we should tank. I don't know what that guy talking about.
Yeah, I thought we were done with that talk.
Yeah, I'm never agreeing with tanking.
Yeah, I got you.
So, all right, guys, y'all have a good
one. All right, man. Any general knowledge question before you go?
Oh yeah, sure.
All right, here it is. General knowledge category: what sport was revolutionized by Takeru the Tsunami Kobayashi?
Wrestling.
No, incorrect. Competitive eating. The great Kobayashi, who's since now been just dwarfed by Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut took him out personally one-on-one. And
he just took over the world.
And now he's the top eater in all of the world.
Yes, he is. Correct. So I've been watching The Sopranos again.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, it's funny because you get like this company, like, what can I watch that you're comfortable watching? You don't have to pay that much attention to it, but it'll entertain you. So I went back to season 3.
Okay.
Of The Sopranos, where Livia just died.
Oh, okay.
The reason I thought of that is because this talk about the tanking. Made me think of Livia saying, "I don't like that kind of talk," when Tony would curse at her. My brain is polluted. I'm just a god. Because like she died the day that in the same episode that he went over and he was angry, yelling at her, and after said, "I don't like that kind of talk," and then she died the next day.
But how's that related to tanking?
Well, because I don't like that kind of talk.
Oh.
People talking about tanking, I don't like that kind of talk.
I got
so
you.
Olivia, I used the Olivia voice to put my point out that I don't like the topic.
Got you.
Got me?
Yeah, I got
you. I'm weird. It doesn't make any sense. You can't connect the dots.
Yeah, a little bit.
But that's what I thought.
I got you.
All right. Let's go. Jason in Southwest Philly. Jason, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jason?
Listen, so before we get started, let me just say that I would like to qualify and I also want a general knowledge question.
Okay.
But also that it's day 3 of the unofficial Festivus, and they're killing me, Mike.
Who's killing you? Which?
What do you mean? It's seven in a row. We had these conversations 2 days ago.
Flyers are killing you. Yeah.
Well, correct. And then the Sixers are 1-1, 1-1. They're like playing bocce ball, and they don't know what they're doing over there.
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish listeners. It is Hanukkah right now, which came early. So I'm glad you brought that up because your Festivus maybe think of Hanukkah. We have people that are celebrating Hanukkah.
Rightfully so.
All right.
But Mike, like we're here again. We're in the same spot, and Tyrone said the other day. It wasn't 2 days ago. It was maybe 3 or 4 days ago. He was like,
And this is my personal opinion. Please let hopefully Jalen Hurts plays because he, those phone calls will be coming in. Mike, grow a mustache. Be
no, he's going to play. He says he's fine. He said he's fine to play. Now, there is a situation at running back, which Tim McManus put on Twitter today, that their situation at running back, that Boston Scott missed today with illness. Howard's out, and Miles Sanders coming back from the ankle injury. So they might. I don't know if that curtails their running attack.
No,
also,
no, it doesn't at all. Mike, you're a smart man. You know that offensive line is the offensive line.
Well, yeah, but it's the health of your running backs. If you're, if the health of your running backs is not good, maybe the coach tries to compromise for it.
Mike, if you're playing in NFL, you know what an A and B gap is. You know.
I'm just saying.
Mike, no, don't.
All right, so your gripe is with everybody right now. You're not happy with anything.
Everywhere, Mike. Everywhere. Yeah. Don't feed into this because somebody else is going to call in and say, who's this guy running the ball? Why they're not running? Mike, don't do it.
All right, man. Listen, you know who Alanis Morissette is, right?
Correct.
All right. So you got to fill in this lyric. It's okay. Like it's like rain on your blank blank. It's like rain on your blank blank.
It's
like rain on your
wedding day.
Yes, it's wedding day. Yes,
Tyrone's
wedding. Tyrone, I like it. Tyrone, come on. No, nobody.
Hold on.
You want to qualify for the suite?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us what. Well, first of all, you got it right. So you're
definitely Googled. Definitely cheated.
Did you Google that? It's like raining on your wedding day.
No, I'm 35. I know that song.
All right. So, now, why do you want to be in the suite?
Listen, man. So, my fiance, she doesn't ask for much, right? So she's getting into hockey, and she's the kind of girl. Or the woman, excuse me, I'll take that back, that if she doesn't want something, she won't ask for it. And if you give her something, she doesn't want it unless she really want, like, ask for it. She's been asking to go to a hockey game, and I can't think of a better, honestly, legit, and if you let us go, she'll tell you this, she's all in on hockey. And I don't know why, because she's never played hockey.
Yeah.
But... legit. 100%.
Well, you know, I kind of like this. I kind of like the guy with the girl posing the hockey. I you convinced me. You're going to qualify for this.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that guy. That doesn't
I like it.
I like couples that you nestle in and watch a hockey game together. I like that.
Why doesn't he take her to a game?
Well, maybe he doesn't have the money to take her to a game.
Yeah. Okay.
Aww. You know, those tickets aren't cheap.
He got money. Take her to.
Maybe not.
He wants to be with us too while he's with the girl.
That's important, Tyrone.
Very important.
That's the best part of it
and
all.
And then you mix in the fact that he's a cheater. I mean, y'all just go ahead.
He cheated on Alanis.
So did Booney. Like,
really?
Is that just me?
I don't think
Booney.
He cheated.
Okay.
I think you just got it when Mike kind of sang that last time.
I guess if Mike says it.
Well, I'm inclined to, like, nobody's gotten an Alanis question right all day today, so I figured I had to, you know, help it out a little bit. Let's go to Dave in Bucks County. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, what's up, Mike, Ty, and Jen? How are you doing?
Good, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Before I get to my Flyers point, I actually wanted to address the question Ty posed yesterday, which was a great show, about why people side with management in these labor disputes. Mm-hmm. I personally don't really get it, and I'll side with labor 10 times out of 10 just because I don't. They worked hard as well, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there wouldn't necessarily be the sport without the players either.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I've always been partial to the player getting the money. Some rich guys crying about the. Like, that's ridiculous to me. Now, the only thing that I dislike is that, and this is the fault of the owners too, is that, you know, this money, these revenues go up and they pay more money to players. Who's going to get in the end? Joe Fan, it's going to be harder for him to buy a ticket. That's the only thing that leaves a bad taste in my mouth for it.
I didn't even think about that. You're right.
They raise ticket prices every year anyway.
They do.
And they've been paying
and
less.
And it's not fair, but they use that as a, you know, as a lynchpin. Well, you know, we have to pay more, so we have to charge more. And that's the only thing that's distasteful about this whole thing to me.
Yeah, I hear you. I didn't think of that. But on the other hand, I just wish, what would be so bad about keeping prices and stuff stagnant? But that, I understand the owners don't have to do it, so they don't, you know?
Well, it would be nice if they did.
It would be nice.
You know, when do they ever reach out to their fan when it comes to stuff like that? They drop raise prices at the drop of a pin. They couldn't care less.
Which brings me back to siding with the players.
Yeah, and that's one other reason why you side with the players.
Organized labor provided many things we take for granted today, like benefits and time off, you know?
I was a union man for a long time in my career. Walked the picket line, brother.
Good yeah. for you, man. I'm glad. You're proud yeah. of it, and I like that.
Yeah, I had to get a job breaking down a cinder block with a sledgehammer for $5 an hour.
Hey, man. But
while I was spritzing people in a department store for $10 an hour.
It made you a better person for it, I bet.
Yes, so. Yeah, it did.
But as far as my Flyers point, and I'd like to make a plea for the suite too, I think the tendrils of the old guard are still involved in some capacity because mm-hmm. even with Ed Snyder's passing, it looks like there's been no real change, you know?
I agree. You know, the Chuck Fletcher thing is a really interesting phenomenon because like he had this reputation of being a hockey man who's going to turn things around. I mean, he hasn't showed me a thing, to be honest with you. So we'll just see what happens. But see, I'm going to qualify you right away because you used the word tendrils.
Thanks,
that's
buddy.
Big time. Hold on a second. Dave's going to qualify for the suite. All right, let's go Mike in Northeast Philly. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, bud?
Nothing much. Hey, real quick, I just want to give a shout-out to my son. He just got his acceptance letter to Penn State Moon Campus today.
So awesome. Congratulations to the lad.
Thank you. He worked hard for it. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. I just, as much as I want to be wrong, he just does not have the arm. I just don't see it. I mean, I love his tenacity. I love how he plays hard. He's a leader. I get it. But when he gets down to it, when he sits in that pocket, he's going to zip, and you got to have zip in this league. And as much as I want to see him succeed, I just cringe sometimes when he throws the ball. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, now to be fair, he threw two great passes at the end of that game. But he did throw it up for grabs a lot earlier in the game.
Right. I mean, honestly, the last pass should have been caught. I don't know if that's a great pass, but the guy was open. But I want to see a quarterback that can stand back and fireball to the sidelines, and I just don't see that. Like I said, as much as I want to,
yeah,
wrong,
you got games left though. There are games left where he can show you something. He ends on a good note. They get in the playoffs. He's back, bro.
I totally agree with giving him a chance, and I hope he proves me wrong. But I sit there sometimes and it's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Eagles, they just—I don't know. They just—they always seem screwed. Another one in the Super Bowl, but it seems like they had this thing where they could have kept it going and it just blew up in their face. I don't know what happened, but I mean, Wentz got hurt and they just kind of gave up on him, and then now here we are, and it's like, we don't even know.
Yeah, it was a downward trend for sure. but yeah. Again, like next year. Three first-round draft picks to replenish a little bit. I don't know about the quarterback situation, but maybe he surprises you. They go 9-8. They get in the playoffs. Everything's all right. We'll see what happens. But here's your general knowledge question. It's the NBA duo question.
Oh, boy. Can I give you a point about the Flyers?
Yeah, quickly.
All right, real quick. I listen to you guys all the time, and I love the fact that your sports show is more than sports. And I would love to hang out with you guys, and I would bring my son because he actually comes home from school and puts on your show when I'm at work. I just love to hang out with you guys and talk to you guys, nothing but, you know, sports included, but just everything included.
Uh-huh. Hey, so this is your pitch for the Flyer suite.
Yes,
you and your son. Wait, what do you think, boys and girls?
Jen,
I'm okay with it.
Jen's okay.
Yeah.
Ty?
Tyrone?
Sure.
All right. I'm okay. I'm okay. Sure. All right. Let me give you a shot. NBA top scoring duos. All right. So these two guys averaged over 50 points a game for this particular team. In 2019, for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were the two guys that averaged more than 50 points for the team?
Oklahoma Thunder?
Mm-hmm.
2019
now.
Hmm.
I can tell you it was not Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't have it. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. You missed the general knowledge question. You're qualified for the sweep. That was Paul George and Russell Westbrook that year. All right, let's take a break. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The Chun Kincaid Show.
Seems like every Sixers game lately is coming down to the final play. And it seems like when it gets to the final play, I go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense to me. Doc Rivers is a championship coach. He's performed on the biggest stage. I'm starting to wonder what the hell's going on with his team when games are on the line.
Anthony Gargano.
Shabai is, he's one of my favorite guys. He's a wonderful guy. Like, my God, dude. You're back to being the friendly ghost. I need you to take over. They so desperately need somebody else.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
To be honest with you, right now, it's rough. The Flyers have lost 7 straight. Now, they show no signs of spunk. They don't have any offensive spark. Their power play is terrible. The one thing I can see happening is they fired assistant coach Michelle Therrien, who's responsible for their power play. But they stink right now. They can't score.
Listen all day, every day, to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Michelle Therrien has a nickname, right? What did Vigneault call him? Frenchie or something?
Frenchie.
Is it Frenchie? It's something more.
He's called somebody Frenchie.
Yeah, it might be something more sophisticated than that. That includes some French reference. It might be, like, more than Frenchie. But it's something. Mm. So, whatever. All right, so it's time for the final Twitter poll numbers. The final poll numbers are powered by Moyer.com. That's right. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. Powered by Moyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and much more. Order online at poweredbymoyer.com. Jennifer scored up. Final numbers on our polls today.
Okay, with the Sixers struggling so much offensively, should they move Ben Simmons right now? 44% say yes, just get a dent done. 56% say no, get the best deal. And hockey coaches have a short shelf life. His Flyers coach Elaine Vigneault in danger of losing his job. 81% overwhelmingly say yes.
Oof. Flyer fans not happy with AV.
No.
81%. Phew. All right, thank you for those numbers. That's our Twitter poll for today. Let's get back to the phones. Natalie in Mount Airy. What's up, Natalie?
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Natalie.
I'm calling in again. You already know I was. I tried yesterday, too.
You did?
I did. But I also ran out of time, so I didn't get
it. All right, well, give me your point for today, and I guess you got to come up with another reason why you should be in the suite.
Well, I actually have a couple few. Well, I was wondering, what are you going to do with the 2-5 in your Twitter name?
I just haven't gotten around to it. I got to change it to something.
I know. Yeah, and also, about the Elaine Vigneault, like a couple months ago, you guys did a poll, and I think it was your show, about who like the most liked coaches were, and he was like so high up there. And now people are always like ready to get rid of him.
Well, seven in a row, we'll do that.
I know.
Yeah, lose seven in a row. I mean, that's almost impossible to lose seven in a row. You got to mix in a tie. No, not even, you don't do any ties anymore. You got to mix in a shootout win, something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, their power play is disgusting.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, you got some players. You need some offensive gunners on a power play.
I know.
They don't have
that. That game was extremely frustrating last night. And I'm very sad about the baseball lockout because baseball is my favorite sport, actually.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go. Like, they could settle it.
I know. And then
a lot of time. And before you have to worry about losing games, there's a lot of time.
I know.
But you know what I'll do again, Tyrone? That'll cancel our spring training trip.
Oh, man.
Okay, our spring training trip is doomed again.
Yeah, I can't. No, I think it's going to get canceled. They're not going to solve this in time.
Yeah, they're not. We're out. We're out again. Sorry, Jen.
It'd be my first one.
Sorry, Jen. Would have been your first one.
Darn it.
Mike, now you don't have to go to the DR to scout prospects.
He still has to do that.
I still want to do that. I still
want to. No, I don't want you to, though. But you're coming right back.
No, I want to go to the DR. I'm done. I got to find my white whale.
I'll be your white whale.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Nat, here's your general knowledge question.
Oh, God.
Yeah, U.S. presidential trivia.
I'm telling you right now, I already have it wrong, but I'll try.
Well, I never know. Okay, here is the clue. He served as the director of the CIA before he was president.
J. Edgar Hoover?
J. Edgar was not the president. Are we qualifying that again?
Yes.
Absolutely
qualified.
J. Edger Hoover answered, but it got her eliminated. J. Edgar Hoover.
That didn't bother me.
President J. Edgar?
No, I mean.
George H.W. Bush was director of the CIA.
I did not know that.
President, yes, he was sinister.
He did a lot of stuff that day.
Yeah, he was a little sinister.
Well, I mean,
get some CIA.
WW2.
Yeah.
CIA. Vice President. I mean, he did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of stuff.
He was a statesman.
A
CIA director. I never trust a CIA director.
Well, I get it, but he'd been shot from the sky. So at least he wasn't one of them frauds.
Yeah.
He survived after being shot out of the sky.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yes.
Even if you don't like him, like, all right, well, at least you know how to do that, buddy. That's real toughness.
Yes. Vicente in Lansdowne. Vicente, what's up?
Hello, my Kimmies. How are you?
Hola, Vicente.
I'm trying again over here. You know, I really wanted to go to the Flyers game.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Man. We're winding up disappointing more people than Flyers with this contest here. But, you know, I have nothing to do with it. All I can do is qualify people, and then we spin a wheel. And the wheel indicates who wins at the end. Yeah.
Now, I wanted to bring a point because we're all sick and tired of hearing about Hurts' decision-making was the problem in the career worst performance against the Giants.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't connect with Watkins and Rivers, you know.
Right.
He's just taking a look and staring at the player that he's just telegraphing everything.
Yeah.
So the question to you is what I keep hearing in the NFL insiders. They still think that Deshaun Watson, number 4 from the Texans, is coming to Philadelphia. Would it be a real possibility, according to your belief, your expertise?
It is a possibility, but again, it's still so cloudy, it's got to straighten out a little bit. If it straightens out and there's no charges or whatever, the Eagles are going to have to bite it that he's going to be suspended for several games. But they like him. I know that they're enamored with him. That's a guy that Howie would be enamored with.
Right. Listen, I wanted to bring back this George H.W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
He was a CIA, and he was the vice president for Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
That's the reason why he selected him, you know, to guide all this. And then as a CIA, he directed the DEA, you know, Drug Enforcement Agency, to go over to Colombia to go after Pablo Escobar.
Yes.
And you know
that's
that
correct.
From
I never trust CIA guys because they're sensitive.
I know he had a thousand points of life and he didn't like broccoli. So that was my main point. My category.
You know your presidents. You know, I'll tell you that. But here's your American category is Alanis Morissette. You know Alanis Morissette.
My goodness. Yeah. I
gotta give you the lyric. Here it is. Who said they? It's like meeting the man of my dreams and then meeting his blank, blank.
It's like what?
It's like meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his blank, blank.
Well, it was a wedding day and then non-smoking cigarettes.
Meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his blank, blank.
Why?
It's not quite the whole lyric, sorry. Meeting his beautiful wife. Isn't it ironic?
All right,
Jen. It's like blank, blank, blank when all you need is a knife.
Oh, I just started singing a completely different part of the song. Wait.
It's like blank, blank, blank when all you need is a knife.
Oh my gosh! I've gotten every single one until right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Booney knows it.
Booney's of course, dead. Booney knows it. Booney's all musical.
You're out.
Absolutely.
It's a different utensil. Does that help you?
Yeah. Say it one more time.
It's like blank, blank, blank when all you need is a knife.
Oh, it's like a spoon.
That's not the whole. It's like 10,000 spoons.
That's right.
When all you need is a knife.
I always thought that part was a little not as good as the other lyrics.
Yeah.
It's a lesser.
Because, no. Because if you had 10,000 spoons, you could figure out a way to sharpen one of them.
Sharpen them?
Yeah.
What are you going to sharpen a spoon with?
The other spoons, you have 10,000. You keep rubbing against them. Sooner or later, you're going to get a sharp edge.
A smooth spoon sharpened a smooth spoon.
Man, they've got handles. So you keep rubbing one along the handles.
You put it out on the pavement that you're trying to sharpen it. You can't use a spoon to sharpen
the
spoon.
You can use the grooves on the spoon. Metal can sharpen metal.
What grooves?
Handles are not always perfectly smooth on spoons. You don't have an ornate spoon.
Did you just now think of this, or have you thought of that?
I thought about this since the song came out.
Of course.
I had a lot of time to think about this.
That's true.
The song's not new.
What spoons do you have? Victorian spoons?
I have some spoons with some ornate things.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
They're not expensive. They just don't have a plain handle. And if you rubbed it enough with 10,000, you can sharpen enough to cut. So I dismissed that particular lyric years ago.
You're going to go through all that trouble?
If I had to, the other parts, you're screwed. You can't wait for a husband to die. You can't wait for all these other things when you're going through the song, the wedding day, all that. No, you're screwed, except I can make the 10,000 spoons work.
You got like a prisoner mentality. Make a shiv.
Well, in a jam. I'm listening to the song. It was everywhere. You start hearing the lyrics. You start to play it out. Yeah, the spoon's not so bad. I can work with 10,000 spoons. Or I could find somebody and trade the spoons for a knife. The spoons would not set me back the way the other parts of the song would set me back.
All right.
So Alanis could have skipped that part.
All right. Well, I'm going to finish Alanis with Jen here.
Boy, now I'm afraid I'm not going to get any of them right.
It's a black fly in your...
Chardonnay.
Yes, nicely done.
See, that would ruin the Chardonnay. There's no coming back from that.
That's true. You're right.
See?
It's a blank, blank when you've already paid.
Oh, no.
Yes, you do know. It's like the thing she says with the most energy in the whole joint.
Yeah, that's right.
She says it with the most energy.
Yes.
In the whole song.
She embellishes the two words.
Mm-hmm.
Say it one more time.
It's a blank blank when you've already paid.
I can't.
It's a free ride.
Oh. Told you she says that different than the rest of the song.
I am going to be so disappointed in myself for the rest of this night because
but you know what I'm talking about. That part.
Yes, of course I do. I'm so mad at myself right now.
You already paid, so you're not. See, again, that's why you go through the whole song. The only one for me that doesn't fit is the spoons. The rest of it all fits. I'm sad.
I wonder why she would go 10,000 spoons. Yeah, that's a little.
Has she said 10 spoons?
Yeah.
No, I got to think about it.
She needed another word.
Melodically, so I think, 10,000 sounds better.
She needed another word. She threw in 1,000. She needed a two-syllable word.
She could have said, something like
2,000. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we got sound off.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be facing me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytec Waterproofing Solutions. Drytec Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytec Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705 is the sound off line. You got something to say, hit us up, leave us a message. We go over them all. We put together a little package. It's called Sound Off. Let's hit it.
If Joe and Tobias have regressed to the 2020 version of themselves, and that's 2 out of 3 nights now where you can't even get a shot off at the end of the game, shouldn't you try and replicate the part of Ben Simmons' game that is easier to replicate? There are veteran point guards out there who can come in and play 30 minutes, who don't score a lick, but can facilitate and make your good players better again.
So we're supposed to trade Ben Simmons for that?
No, I think he just he's lying to himself and thinks they're just sitting around available. A guy's capable of playing 30 minutes in the NBA but aren't currently on a team.
Well, they're like the Corey Josephs of the world.
He can't play 30 minutes in this league.
Yeah, he can't. He can't play 30 minutes. But what is he? Listen, you just got to sit on this. You got to get a good player. You just can't trade for a sake of trade. And then there would only be a 20-minute player that you could acquire. Like, you could do that.
Hey, Mike, the real ironic thing about the song Ironic by Alanis Morissette is that most of the things she's singing about aren't examples of irony. They're really examples of unfortunate events.
Yeah, see, why you got to step on for Alanis? I get it. Technically, it's not ironic. I get it.
You know what she's going to do the next time she sees him? She's going to ball up a $100 bill and throw it at his face. Because that song made her so rich. That album made her so rich because yes, she wrote it. She's
Come
not
on, man.
About.
Who cares if it actually meets the definition of irony? You know, you get what she's trying to say.
Cam Atkinson couldn't put the puck into a soccer net. The Seattle Kraken have 8 wins. The Flyers have 8 wins. Enough said.
But Dave, opining on hockey.
I'm uncomfortable.
Why? Dave opining on hockey?
Yeah. I don't know, it just seems so weird. It's kind of like when you're in school and you see a teacher outside of school.
Yes.
It throws you off.
It's awkward. Yeah,
well, that's Dave.
I watched basketball for 40 years. I've never seen them once go out and work on the net like this. Boy, not once, but twice in a game. Hello, Boston. Can you get your in order?
What, is that a Sixer, disgruntled Sixer fan?
No.
What was he talking about?
The net that got messed up twice yesterday during the Sixers game. They had to adjust the net two different times.
Yeah.
Took a long time to do it.
It did take a long
time. Right after halftime. No one looked at it during halftime.
I know.
I feel like it was a stall tactic because they saw the Sixers were out of rhythm, so they wanted to throw them even more out of rhythm.
Yeah.
With that mess. Yeah, I don't trust the Celtics.
Well, you know, that net's delicate. You got to get it right. Have you ever seen that
happen before?
No, but you got to weave it. You know, you got.
Nah, he did that. He came out with a whole new net, and it broke again somehow.
Yeah.
Hey, that's because he half snipped it. I don't trust those balls.
Remember the playgrounds where, like, you, you, did bring a net, but the guys were too lazy to put it in right. They would just tape it around around the top of the rim.
For real?
Yeah, you had to thread it. It takes, you got to get through it.
But in my neighborhood, it was so crazy. They put a chain up there and only lasts one day, and it was a double rim. Your jump shot had to be
the double rim is awful. One of the worst inventions ever.
Well,
what happened to the chain? The chain net?
Man, that thing would get ripped down.
What, by who? By with dunks?
No. What? Sometimes dunk, sometimes tell you, it was rough playing at the Sand Dune.
I hate
that. That was the name of our court. The Sand Dune was the toughest place in the world to play.
You had a chain net and a double rim?
Yep.
Oh, man, see, that takes the fun out of it.
Nah, it was fun. You better be pure. Or don't bother.
Yeah, but come on. I hate that double rim.
Look, Joel Embiid is a problem. He's afraid to go down low. He spends more time on the floor than a Persian rug. We got to do something about this guy. Trade him while we can.
Seriously. Yeah, you pick up the phone, you're going to trade Joel Embiid, and you thought that was a good call. Come on, man.
Coming out of a timeout, not needing a three, that was what they came up with. So when is Doc Rivers going to tell Embiid to react faster and go to the basket before the double team? He's got to move to the basket faster.
Yeah, they switched it out on that last play.
And that was the point of the play, was to get the switch to get Horford on Tobias and Brown on Embiid.
Yeah.
And Horford, I mean, somehow Tobias just never got the ball to Embiid.
Yeah, it was a bad execution. All right, let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of SoundArt.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
I don't like
leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All righty, that concludes the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening and participating. Our general knowledge winners today are Tune Asadeh and Will Krause. Congratulations, you get the Foo Fighter tickets. And the sweet winner, Tyrone, is?
Natalie Proud.
Natalie makes it. Congratulations, Natalie.
It'd be nice to see her.
Yes. Stay tuned, because the Cousins Corner is coming up next from Parks. And on NBC Sports Philly, the Sixers Outsiders from last night with Ty Dolla $ign. Ty Dolla. It's back on prime time. All right, everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.